and ice cold beer have in common? Charlus' Tap House, of course. Charlus Pizza, made from scratch with old family recipes using only the finest ingredients. Charlus will not disappoint when you bite into the cheesy, creamy, meaty goodness of their hand-tossed crispy crust. It's an experience you won't find anywhere else in Reading. Pizza just brings people together for food and fun. Charlus' Tap House also offers house specials, homemade pastas, sandwiches, soups, and delicious salads. Everything is homemade using secret family recipes. Be sure to try their famous house special every Friday and Saturday night. Tender, mouth-watering prime rib. Remember, Charlus' Tap House offers a wall of tap beer, your old favorite brews, and new additions on demand. It's the ultimate beer experience. Just grab your tap wall card at the counter and pour your favorite or try something new. Charlus' Tap House, rule number one. Come for the homemade pizza. Stay for the beer wall. You'll find Charlus' Tap House in two locations, in the Anderson Outlets and in Reading, at the corner of Shasta and East Street. Charlus' Tap House for dine-in, takeout, delivery, and catering. Charlus' Tap House, bringing family and friends together.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Today's show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. Do you like your web history being seen and sold to advertisers? No? No one does. Get ExpressVPN right now at expressvpn.com/Ben Shapiro. Alrighty, so the economy is in serious, serious trouble. According to the Wall Street Journal, U.S. stocks and bond yields fell, with the S&P 500 flirting with a bear market and a continuing sell-off driven by investor fears that the economy could be pitched into a recession. The major indices dipped early in Thursday's session, a day after tumbling 4% before recovering ground. They ultimately finished lower, with all three on track for weekly losses of at least 2.9%. Concerns about consumer spending, which helped lift the market out of the pandemic lows, have weighed on stocks and bond yields as well. Bond yields tend to go down when people actually invest in bonds. People are rushing to bonds at this point as sort of a safe haven for investment, given the fact that there really is no great place to put your cash at this point. The NASDAQ Composite Index entered bear market territory early this year. It retreated 29.66 points, or 0.3%. Investors are buying government bonds perceived as a haven asset. The yield on the 10-year Treasury notes fell to 2.854% from 2.884% on Wednesday, losing ground for seven of the past nine trading days. As I say, bond yields and prices tend to move in opposite directions. In economic news, the Labor Department says new applications for unemployment benefits rose for the third week in a row. Initial jobless claims, a proxy for layoffs, remain historically low. Separately, U.S. home prices reached a high in April, according to fresh data, but the number of sales is falling. So it looks as though we're about to experience a real problem in the real estate markets as well, which isn't a great shock. Again, the prices are so high in every other area of American life that you just don't have enough money left over to pay for the inflated real estate prices that we are seeing right now. Meanwhile, apparently, we are now on the verge of another subprime mortgage crisis. According to the Wall Street Journal, consumers with low credit scores are falling behind on payments for car loans, personal loans, and credit cards, a sign that the healthiest consumer lending environment on record in the U.S. is coming to an end. Who could have predicted that when you make credit extraordinarily loose, that when you give a bunch of people who can't pay back their mortgages in the hopes that the market will continue to boost prices beyond what the mortgage is actually worth, and therefore the mortgages won't flip upside down. Who could have predicted that this sort of thing would have happened? I mean, it's not like this just happened in 2007, 2008, well within living memory of all human adults. We're going to do the same thing again. The share of subprime credit cards and personal loans that are at least 60 days late is rising faster than normal, according to credit reporting from Equifax. In March, those delinquencies rose month over month for the eighth time in a row, nearing their pre-pandemic levels. Rising delinquencies were inevitable following their decline during the pandemic, many lenders and analysts said. Even so, the increase is getting attention from investors partly because the Federal Reserve is about to jack up the interest rates, which means you're going to see a lot more people defaulting on their mortgages, and that means that the prices of real estate are going to go down, which is going to flip even more people upside down on the mortgages that they have. So you could be watching the bursting of a real estate bubble here as well. Delinquencies on subprime car loans and leases hit an all-time high in February based on Equifax's tracking that goes all the way back to 2007. Many people, including those with less than perfect credit, paid off debts, built up savings during the pandemic. The government's response, including stimulus payments and child tax credits, boosted financial health. But now, many of those benefits have run out. Subprime borrowers, who sometimes have lower incomes or less savings, are being hit hard. Inflation is also forcing many households to choose between paying for essentials and paying those monthly loans. Wells Fargo Chief Executive Charlie Scharf said Tuesday higher prices for food and gas will constrain U.S. households. He said, "We're still in the best credit environment we've ever seen in our lives. There will be deterioration in people's ability to pay." So we could be looking at the beginning of a serious problem in the mortgage market as well. How bad are things getting? Well, people are now finally unretiring. Well, one of the stupidities of the American job market is that we assume that people are going to retire and should retire at the age of 65. Okay, when we made the national retirement age 65, when Social Security benefits kicked in at the age of 65, the average life expectancy in the United States was 63, which meant that you're really old. 65 was old at the time. Well, now 65 is actually really, really young. You can expect, if you're born today, you can expect that you will live to at least 80 years of age. And that means 15 years in which you ain't getting paid to do a job. And for the vast majority of people, I mean, right now the president of the United States is 80 years old. I mean, by this logic, he should have retired 25 full years ago if you're talking about 55 years old. Yeah, the reality is that 65 is the new 55 and 55 is the new 45, which makes sense since we treat adults like children in this country. But instead, we have basically said to 65-year-olds, no, you have to be forced out of the job market. Well, now, because it turns out that inflation eats away at fixed incomes, things like Social Security, what that means is that people are going back into the job market after all, which maybe is a good thing, but it's not a good thing for the people who have to do it. According to the New York Times, when Kim Williams and millions of other older Americans lost their jobs early in the COVID pandemic, economists wondered how many would ever work again. Ms. Williams, now 62, wondered too, especially when she struggled for months to find work. But in January, she started a new job at a AAA near her home in Waterbury, Connecticut. I'm too young to retire, so I had to go back, she said. Whether by choice or financial necessity, millions of older Americans have made the same move in recent months. Nearly 64% of adults between the age of 55 and 64 were working in April, essentially the same rate as in February 2020. That's a more complete recovery than among most younger age groups. So the older people, being smarter than the younger people, are like, maybe I should go back to work. Meanwhile, you have people in other age brackets really lagging in terms of where they were as far as labor force participation rate. So, for example, if you take the group 20 to 24, that group is still lagging about 5% below where it was before the pandemic in terms of labor force participation. A bunch of people are basically just sitting out the economy right now thinking everybody's going to continue paying their bills. Those are the people who are going to come up short when it comes time to pay for their mortgage or when it comes time to pay for that car. Those are the people who are going to be defaulting. The rapid rebound has surprised many economists who thought fear of the virus would contribute to a wave of early retirements, but there is increasing evidence that early retirement narratives were overblown. The bottom line is that older workers have gone back to work, said Alicia Minnell, director of the Center for Retirement Research at Boston College. So maybe that's good in terms of bringing down the wages, because if you have a broader supply of labor, this does bring down the wages. But again, for a lot of people who are on fixed income, inflation is eating away at everything, and they are suffering, and they are feeling it. Which is, of course, why there's a new CNN poll showing that 86% of people are at least somewhat scared of how things are going in the United States. You were CNN reporting that yesterday.
65% of Americans in our brand new CNN poll tonight say they are concerned about how things are going in the U.S. Only 4% excited, 10% optimistic. Even 1 in 5 say that they are scared.
Okay, so those are really, really bad numbers. I mean, those are terrible numbers. You're talking about excited or optimistic 14% of Americans. And going into a midterm election cycle for Democrats, that's really, really bad. It's particularly bad because we are now no longer just in an inflationary cycle. So the Biden administration, they kept saying, you know what, inflation is really, you're looking at the wrong side of the coin. Inflation, the other side of that coin is heavy consumer demand. And heavy consumer demand means people are doing great. Because after all, they're out there buying things. And if you're buying things, you're buying things because you have the money to buy things. And this means things are going swimmingly. Well, if you have a hot economy and inflation working in tandem, then it's not great, but it's not the end of the world. When you have stagflation, now you start to look at the end of the world. When you have economic stagnation and inflation, the prices are prices people cannot pay, and also nobody's buying anything. That's like the worst of all possible worlds. This is what happened during the Carter administration and the first couple of years of the Reagan administration before Paul Volcker jacked up the interest rates to like 20%. So Mohamed El-Erian, who is the head of Allianz and who is an excellent economic commentator, we've had him on the program before. He really knows his stuff. He's written very critically of how basically every major government in the world has delegated all financial responsibility to their central banks. They basically told their central banks, you're in charge of unemployment and you're in charge of the inflation rate. And they've given them too much to do. They've used them as the solution of first resort as opposed to the solution of last resort. And that means when things get ugly, there's not all that much that central banks can do. And central banks aren't always right. They mess up a lot. Mohamed El-Erian, he said yesterday, well, you know, stagflation, it's unavoidable. He used the word unavoidable. It's now coming. We have inflation, and now we're going to get economic stagnation. That is like the worst possible scenario for America. It's the worst possible scenario for the party in charge of the country right now.
What is unavoidable is stagflation. And we're seeing growth coming down, and we're seeing inflation remaining high. And the Fed is finally catching up to developments on the ground, but it still has some way to go.
Hey, Mohamed El-Erian, very, very critical of the Fed's response in all of this, basically saying they overshot the mark and they've been slow off the ball every single time. Remember, Jerome Powell originally said inflation was going to be transitory. And he was like, well, no, maybe it's not so transitory. Then it was, there will definitely not be a recession. And as well, it's going to be kind of hard to avoid a recession. Maybe he's just really bad at his job. According to many, many investment fund managers, like 77% of them, they see an economic storm of slowing growth and high inflation taking hold over the course of the next year, according to Yahoo Finance and Fortune magazine. Top economists and money managers worldwide are warning that rising consumer prices and falling economic growth are combining to form a deadly recipe for the global economy, stagflation. Some 77% of investment fund managers say they see below-trend growth and above-trend inflation. That would be stagflation as the most likely outcome for the global economy over the next year, according to a May survey from the Bank of America Global Research. That is the highest percentage seen since August of 2008, when the economy was pretty terrible. Still, despite these gloomy predictions about stagflation, most of the fund managers say that they believe we are past the worst spike in inflation, but being past the worst spike in inflation doesn't mean that inflation is going to be in good shape anytime soon. Last month, the inflation was 8.3%. The month before that, it was 8.5% on an annualized basis. That just means that it's going up slower than it was. It doesn't mean that everything is going back to something resembling normal. And for all the investors out there, the question is, where do you put your money? I mean, really, where do you put your money? Bitcoin has taken it on the chin. The dollar seems to be maybe the best bet at this point, simply because they're raising the interest rates. So people are buying into bonds and securities. They're moving out of the stock market. There's talk of a possible 10-year slowdown in stock market growth. All of this is horrible news. And it's bad news generated by bipartisan spending policies and an idiotic assessment by the Biden administration that the way that you get out of an inflationary spiral is apparently to punish businesses. That the best way that you can actually get out of an inflationary spiral is to deliberately seek stagnation. This is crazy. If you're going to get out of an inflationary spiral, what you have to do is jack up the interest rates, but free businesses at the same time. Because that leads them to believe that their economic fundamentals are still sound. That if they do things right, if they run a tight ship, they will still not only survive, but thrive. And get to keep the benefits of their own labors. But if you have an inflationary cycle combined with a bunch of bad regulation and high taxation, who in their right mind is going to invest into that market? Who? And yet this is exactly what the Biden administration is openly pursuing at this point. So, for example, you have the National Economic Council director for the Biden administration openly saying that they want to raise taxes to cut inflation. So your solution is that you're going to disincentivize businesses from investing? This is your plan? That's actively seeking stagflation. Because here's the thing. Raising taxes is not going to markedly bring down inflation. The inflation rates are going to be markedly brought down by the increase in interest rates from the Federal Reserve. At the margins, you might see a minor decrease in inflation thanks to raising the taxation on corporations simply because they won't be able to afford to pay their workers, and so the wages are going to go down a little bit. So it'll have a little bit of a marginal effect on the wage price spiral, right? Because if wages go down, prices will have to go down in order to meet the dropping wages. How is that? So your plan to get out of this is to make the American worker feel the pain of losing their job via you going after their boss? I sort of understand the logic if you're the Democrats, because if you're the Democrats, I guess the idea is somebody's going to have to be the bad guy here. Let's make it your employer. It can either be us or it can be your employer. Now, a normal sort of honest economic take here would be it's us, right? We're going to have to raise the inflation rate. We blew it. Inflation rate going up. We're going to get this sucker ironed out, and then it'll all be good. And they still have time to do this. They do. Remember that in 1981, when Paul Volcker began raising the interest rates, by 1982, Ronald Reagan had a pretty bad off-year election. By 1984, the guy was winning 49 states. So it is definitely possible to say to the American public, we're about to go through a rough time. There's something we have to do to get things back looking good again. We have plenty of room to ramp up the interest rates without completely sinking the economy, but you're going to have to bear with us, and there will be some pain. You could do that, but they can't do that because Joe Biden and the Democrats have a pathological aversion to taking blame for anything they themselves do. So instead, what they plan to do is raise taxes, punish corporations, force the corporations to fire people, and that will somehow, in a backdoor fashion, bring down wages, which will eventually bring down prices. That's pretty gross. It really is. So here is the head of the National Economic Council, Brian Deese, talking about how the raising taxes is going to somehow solve this problem.
If we can continue that deficit reduction, then we will continue from a fiscal policy perspective to reduce price pressures in the economy. And one of the most sensible ways to reduce the deficit right now is to enact corporate tax reform that would level the playing field, that would reduce the incentives for corporations to drive profits and production overseas, and would increase revenue to the federal government.
So they keep going over and over to this idea. First of all, even the outcome of his own policies don't make sense. He's talking about how basically corporations are just being greedy and that's what's driving inflation. That's not true. That is not true. Did corporations suddenly become radically greedy? According to Democrats, they've been greedy the whole time. So what magically changed that made them greedy all of a sudden? Also, when he says at the very end of that clip that this is going to drive more revenues to the government, revenues to the federal government are at an all-time high right now. That is not the problem. We are taking in more money at the federal government level than any time in American history right now. Bar none, not close. That is not the problem. The problem is whatever we take in terms of the federal government, we then blow out twice as much. That's the problem. The spending side is the problem. But they refuse to see that because, of course, it cuts directly against all of their economic preferences. We'll get to more of this in just a moment. But first, a word from our partners at Noble Gold.
Now, the stock market's at a record high again. Things are looking up. Houses are selling in a week. Interest rates are still crazy low. And to top it all off, the government printed $5 trillion in new money. You might have noticed that all of this doesn't add up. It's like those plates spinning on top of those sticks. When they stop, it all comes crashing down, right? You need to keep your cash safe, not crashing down. Using precious metals is a well-proven way to do this. In a gold or silver IRA 401k rollover, you even get tax breaks while you bomb-proof your money. To find out how you can do this, you need to talk to one of Noble Gold's representatives. They're patient and knowledgeable and can help you navigate the precious metals market. This month, Noble Gold is giving away a free America the Beautiful solid silver 5-ounce coin with any qualifying IRA that you start. Call 877-646-5347 now to find out more, or visit our website at noblegoldinvestments.com.
Investing involves risk. Past performance is no guarantee of future results.
Alrighty, coming up, who else are the Democrats going to blame besides corporations? Well, of course, there's Putin. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Convert your calling into a career at Shasta College this summer. Get a jump start on being transfer ready or boost your current career skills quickly and affordably with a certificate or degree. Our summer sessions offer flexible class times and formats with online and some in-person offerings. Plan a cool summer of hot classes by enrolling at Shasta College today. Summer session classes begin June 13th. Achieve more, earn more at ShastaCollege.edu. Enroll online today.
Hey kids, what's your favorite kids' meal at Black Bear Diner? Is it a mini volcano, burger sliders, chicken strips, or strawberry French toast? This month, have a grown-up bring you into Black Bear Diner, and while you're here, ask for a happy cupcake coloring sheet, get creative, and have them post your creation for a chance to win a meal for you and your favorite adults. We can't wait to see what you come up with. Happening this month only at Black Bear Diner, 2605 Hilltop Drive in Reading.
Black Bear Diner.
A building that's meant to last is not built overnight. And for centuries, the cornerstone has been crucial to guide each brick and wall that comes after. A strong community relies on many cornerstones. So at Cornerstone Community Bank, we've taken our name to heart. Whether it's your business or your family, we'll provide the financial cornerstone that you need to build on. We're local. We're community. We're your cornerstone. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere ag and turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
550.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So Democrats are looking for somebody to blame for the fact that their economic record here is just abysmal. That means it's time to blame Putin again.
I think the price increases that we've seen in energy markets, we know why that is happening. And it's because Putin invaded Ukraine. The war has taken Russian supply of product, but also Russian refinery capacity off of the market. And that has put upward pressure on price.
OK, so again, this is the way that they're going to get out of this, just blaming other people. It isn't going to work. If Americans are disquieted about the economy and your plans are let us raise taxes and yell at corporations and talk about Vladimir Putin, that is not going to do it. It's also not going to do it when you have no solutions to any of the problems that your own FDA created. When all of your regulatory agencies that work for you are so bad at their job that you end up with a serious baby formula shortage. And then you've got the White House legit telling people that the solution to this problem is to call your doctor to get free samples of baby formula. When all of this could have been handled, right? If you're going to use the FDA to shut down domestic production of this sort of stuff, at the very least, you need to relieve a lot of the regulations on bringing in foreign supply of baby formula. But they didn't do that. So instead, the White House has now put out a tweet. It says, guidance to follow if you're having trouble finding infant formula. Don't water down formula or try to make formula at home. Instead, call your OBGYN or a pediatrician to see if they have in-office samples. So, great. That is what we have now been relegated to. I wonder why people are feeling really, really uncomfortable with the way this administration is addressing economic problems. The good news is that we have deployed the President of the United States, Jill Biden, to Central and South America to talk about the United States economy. I call her the President of the United States because Joe Biden clearly is not. We may have an Edith Wilson situation on our hands where basically Woodrow became a meat puppet and Edith was standing behind him moving his face and like weird sounds would come out and Edith would just basically define the policy. We may be almost there with Jill Biden and Joe Biden at this point. So Jill Biden was talking about how the real problem in America is income inequality and inequity. And she was saying this is what matters to people in Ecuador.
What does inequality in the United States matter to young people right here in Quito? But they do matter. Injustice and corruption, poverty and pollution, disease and despair, they aren't contained by any borders. If we learned anything from the COVID-19 pandemic, from these last few years of sickness and sorrow, it's how one deadly virus can move through the world.
What? Just like what? And also what? If we learned something from COVID, what we actually learned is that all of our elites are morons telling you that they can control your life top down and wreck everything. We were told that they were all the experts and they were going to fix everything. And it turns out that they blew up the economy. It turns out that a million Americans still died. It turned out that they masked up your kids for no apparent reason and kept them out of school for no apparent reason and destroyed your business for no apparent reason. So, yeah, I think that's mostly what we learned. But according to the Biden administration, no, what we actually learned is how good they are at these things and that they should have more control. Speaking of which, by the way, the CDC is now advising boosters for kids who are aged 5 to 11. This is so tiresome. It's so tiresome. And the number of kids who have died from COVID is statistically negligible. Every one of those is a tragedy. Many, many more children have died from virtually every other measurable cause than have died from COVID. Doesn't matter. The CDC is now saying that your kid, aged 5 to 11, should get a booster. That would be the third dose available for most children. What? Okay, kids have not been dying of this pandemic the entire time. The entire time. Kids have been getting it. Kids have been getting COVID the whole time, and pretty much none of them have been dying. By the CDC's own stats. The CDC's own stats, like the grand total number of kids who have died, according to the CDC's own stats, in that age bracket, it's well under 100. In a country with, like, tens of millions of people in this general age bracket. So what in the... Again, the experts know, so we should listen always and forever to the experts. Alrighty, coming up, the Democrats are trotting out their favorite experts again on COVID. You know, all the people who failed the first time. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
When you think of May, think Maaco. Maaco Collision Repair and Auto Painting Center at 3045 Crossroads Drive. Maaco offers a variety of services including collision repair, a full new paint job, and they can touch up scrapes and scratches. So when you think of May, think Maaco at 3045 Crossroads Drive. Make an appointment today for a free estimate. They also offer a military discount. Call 530-226-0992. That's 530-226-0992. Or stop by Maaco today.
North State Relief, a nonprofit serving Northern California communities, is raising awareness that there are free financial counseling services available to North State residents, provided by certified counselors at Balance Pro. They offer free HUD certified financial counseling for debt, rental, and mortgage assistance, student loans, and financial counseling for veterans and fire victims. Get advice from the pros at balancepro.org or by calling 1-800-777-PLAN. That's 1-800-777-7526.
Are you new to crypto? It can leave you feeling unsure of what to do. Help is available. From getting started to securing your cryptos, you don't need to go it alone. Bitcoin 530 will take you by the hand to help you move forward with your crypto journey. Schedule a free consultation with Bitcoin 530 at bitcoin530.io or give them a call at 530-324-5175. That's bitcoin530.io.
It's a bright new day. The sun is shining. The birds are singing. And there's never been a better day to try Mount Shasta spring water. Hi, I'm Bob the Drop. I come from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta. I'm bottled at the source. It doesn't get more cool and refreshing than that. And it's delivered right to your door. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally, the best. Start your bright new day by calling 1-800-922-6227 to order some of the best tasting water on the planet. Mount Shasta spring water.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Miller's Deli and Market has moved to their new location at 2495 Athens Avenue, just north of Crown Motors and the Cypress Square Shopping Center. Choose from a tasty half-pound burger, pepperoni pizza, sandwich or hot dog with a side of fries, potato or macaroni salad, and dessert. Eat in or call 530-691-4333 to place your order or order online. Lucky Miller's Deli and Market has moved to 2495 Athens Avenue, north of Crown Motors and the Cypress Square Shopping Center, where our food speaks for itself.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Today.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, remember Rochelle Walensky? She's bad at everything? Well, she's back. Rochelle Walensky, who's failed on every score, she says that as we see an uptick in the number of COVID cases across the country, maybe it's time to put back on the mask. Oh, happiness.
In areas where community levels are high, everyone should be using prevention measures and wearing a mask in public indoor settings. In areas with medium COVID-19 community levels in yellow, individuals should consider taking prevention measures based on their own risk, like avoiding crowds, wearing a mask, increasing their testing, especially before gathering with others indoors. And in any COVID-19 community levels, individuals may always choose to wear a mask to protect themselves from infection.
They will, the experts. This is why you should listen to the experts, because they're so experts when they're doing their experting. Speaking of experts, we still have the Surgeon General, Vivek Murthy, saying the same thing. Why not wear masks? I mean, despite the fact that there's, like, no data on masks being preventative of Omicron. Like, despite that, like, why not do it? I mean, just for the funsies of it. It was so much fun. It was so good. I mean, like, it obviously prevented Omicron from hitting everyone, including the already none of that worked at all. But we should do it anyway, because after all, it's like, it's like a facial symbol that you listen to the regime. So why not? Here's the Surgeon General.
Masks still remain an important tool that we can use to reduce spread. And reducing spread is still important because we don't want people to get infected, even if they don't end up in the hospital or die. That's the most important thing, obviously, is to save your life, keep you out of the hospital. But we know people can get long COVID. We know that they can spread it to people who are vulnerable. So the masks are helpful. If you are in a region of the country that is in the yellow or orange, I would strongly recommend you consider wearing a mask, especially if you're at high risk or around people who are.
Why are people in such a bad mood about this administration? I don't understand. Why are people in such a bad mood generally? Well, the good news is they still have Joe Biden. And as we know, Joe Biden is as honest as the day is long, widely beloved, genial old man who just reminds you of your uncle who would creepily rub your shoulders while nuzzling your ear. Now, he's the best, right? I mean, he's personally popular, at least he's mostly popular just because of how honest he is. Well, I mean, it now turns out that, remember that time that he said that his son Hunter didn't take a bunch of money from the Chinese, like in open debate? In 2020, he said that, like to the entire American public. This is October 2020.
My son has not made money in terms of this thing about, what are you talking about, China. I have not had, the only guy made money from China is this guy. He's the only one. Nobody else has made money from China.
Yeah, not true. That was a lie, because he's a liar, so that's too bad. And according to the New York Post today, Hunter Biden and a company he ran raked in around $11 million from his controversial business dealings while his dad served as VP and shortly thereafter, according to new scrutiny of the first son. An NBC News report found that President Biden's scandal-scarred son burned through cash at a rate of more than $200,000 a month from October 2017 through February 2018, spending it on luxury hotel rooms, payments on a Porsche and dental work, as well as making unexplained bank withdrawals. That's a lot of dental work. You know, you get a grill? Like, what exactly was that about? The eye-popping figures emerged from an analysis of information stored on the first son's laptop, which, of course, the entire media pretended was Russian propaganda, and documents released by Senate Republicans. His river of income flowed from 2013 through 2018 as a result of ties to a Ukrainian natural gas company suspected of bribery and a since vanished Chinese tycoon accused of bribery and fraud as well. From White House chief ethics lawyer Richard Painter told the Post, this is an enormous amount of money for Hunter Biden, whom I don't believe is an experienced corporate transactional attorney. Yeah, you think? So you still have the Hunter Biden stuff that is sort of hovering around Joe. So you can see why Joe Biden and the Democrats are in real trouble. And so, once again, as always, they're swiveling. I keep saying this because it's true. They're swiveling to abortion. They do not seem to understand how out of touch they are on the issue of abortion. It really is amazing to listen to them talk about abortion as though this is what is going to save them. So Nancy Pelosi is now trying to recast abortion as a kitchen table issue, which is weird imagery, because really you shouldn't perform abortions on kitchen tables, just generally. It's not sanitary. But here is Nancy Pelosi explaining that abortion is a kitchen table issue, which is a way of saying, let's not talk about the economy. Let's not talk about COVID. Let's not talk about all of our failures. Instead, let's talk about why you should be able to kill babies. This is a kitchen table issue.
They want to know what we're doing about their kitchen table issues. Food, education, prescription drugs. You want to talk about prescription drugs? Only 12 of them bought it with us to make insulin cheaper. So our democracy on the ballot, freedom that springs from our democracy on the ballot. A woman's right to choose is on the ballot, and that is a kitchen table issue.
A woman, abortion's a kitchen table issue. Like, if you could have an empty kitchen table with no kids there, gotta admire the hand motions of Nancy Pelosi here. They're getting more and more bizarre and obscure. She started off with like a full-on Vulcan mind meld here, right? She started off with this one, like up here, and then she went to this one, which I don't even know that is like that. She went for the loser sign, and then finally she went to the one finger. So she went all the way from Spock to L to one finger. It was solid stuff there from Nancy Pelosi explaining abortion is a kitchen table issue. Meanwhile, they've trotted out their greatest spokesperson, Kamala Harris, the most brilliant orator of our time. She's like Demosthenes or Cicero. I mean, when the history of this age is written, people will wonder, they will just stare agape at the video evidence that we ever experienced in order quite along the lines of the utterly sincere, totally articulate, unbelievably glib Kamala Harris. She's just incredible at this. So she decided that it was time to visit some abortion providers because these are the nicest people in the world. It's amazing. All Democrats had to do when they came into office in January 2021 was not be totally bat crazy. And they couldn't do it. It was just not possible for them. So instead, they decided to just be as crazy as they wanted to be. So here is Kamala Harris. She was, again, she's hanging out with abortion providers, which is a political winner. I know that. You know, when I want to be popular with my friends, I head on over to an abortion provider and I just hang out with the people who chop up unborn children all day. That's it's good times. Kamala Harris, she says, the problem with abortion law as promoted by the right is that if we end Roe, it will stop self-determination. It will end women's self-determination. Here we go.
It would be a direct assault on the fundamental right to self-determination, to live and love without interference from the government. At its core, this is about our future as a nation, about whether we live in a country where the government can interfere in personal decisions.
Okay, the lack of self-awareness here is absolutely astonishing. It's astonishing. I just want to take a moment to go through the idiotic cream of wheat nonsense that you just spewed right there. Quote, it would be a direct assault on the fundamental right to self-determination. You know, it's a fundamental right to self-determination. You know what that usually involves? It involves not having your skull caved in and your brain sucked into a sink. Like, generally, if I had to put, like, the fundamental right to self-determination, like the very, very first step, it's not having your brain sucked into a sink. Like, I know. I'm demanding this way. But if I were thinking, like, fundamental rights to self-determination would be somebody not killing me, right? That I would start from there. Okay, then she says, to live and love without interference from the government. To live? Like, at its core, this is about our future as a nation, about whether we live in a country where the government can interfere in personal decisions. Yes, Kamala Harris is very concerned about the government interfering in personal decisions. The Democrats hate when the government interferes in your life. They hate it. The Democrats are known for being unbelievably hands-off when it comes to how you operate economically, in terms of your family, in terms of your marriage, in terms of everything. They're really hands-off people. They're basically libertarians, Democrats. The lack of connection, again, the lack of connection to reality here is just amazing stuff. Then Kamala Harris has to do what the Democrats have been doing. So they think, okay, we won't talk about the economy, we'll talk about abortion. And they start talking about abortion about halfway through the sentence. They realize that what they're talking about is the sometimes gruesome, always deadly act of killing an unborn baby in the womb. And then they immediately switch to, okay, we can't talk quite about that. So what if we talk about contraception? So let's pretend that for some reason Republicans want to, you know, like ban the sale of condoms or something. Let's just do that. So here's Kamala Harris.
The right to privacy that forms the basis of Roe is the same right to privacy that protects the right to use contraception and the right to marry the person you love, including a person of the same sex. Overturning Roe opens the door to restricting those rights.
Okay, so, again, they're now going to try to broaden out. They're going to try to redirect, even from abortion. It's not even about abortion now. Now it's about they're coming after same-sex marriage and condoms. Okay, good luck with this argument. Again, they have to keep swiveling from their actual abortion argument because their actual abortion argument is really, really ugly. Also, they're trying to misdirect from the fact that if Roe versus Wade is overturned, everyone knows that if there's violence, it's coming from the left. So CBS Morning News actually attempted, I kid you not, to suggest that if there is violence in the aftermath of a Roe versus Wade striking down by the Supreme Court, that it could come from either side. Uh-huh. Sure. Here we go.
The Department of Homeland Security is warning about an increased threat of extremist violence after the leak of a draft Supreme Court opinion striking down the constitutional right to an abortion. The Associated Press obtained a memo to local government agencies. It says that violence could come from either side of the abortion issue or from other types of extremists seeking to exploit tensions.
Either side. Either side. Yeah, that's probable. Now, that'd make perfect sense if all the pro-lifers just started rioting after they got exactly what they want. That's normally what people do. I shouldn't say that because sometimes the L.A. Lakers win the NBA championship, and then there are riots in L.A. But most of the time, when you get what you want, you don't then go and riot about it. Typically, happy riots aren't like the most common type of riots, politically happy riots. I've never seen have you seen a politically happy riot? Have you seen like a bunch of people where they get exactly what they're like, yes, we got our tax cut, let's go burn a car. Like, I've never seen anything remotely like that. So I'm not sure what exactly they're talking about, except they have to try and scare people. Well, either that or they have to start cracking down on the dissemination of material. And so Twitter has some announcements to make, apparently, about how they're going to be policing content in the near future. So not exactly my cup of tea. We'll get to that in a moment. First, you know what big tech and big government have in common? They want to monitor everything you do, and then they'd like to silence you. Well, let's say you're a proud gun owner. You want to talk on social media about the right to bear arms. Good shot, you are being monitored, and that somebody is going to put you on a governmental watch list of some kind. Well, how about this? How about anonymizing your internet activity? This is why you need ExpressVPN. The problem with big tech, they can track everything you do online, what you're searching for, the videos you watch, everything you click. They can then match your activity to your true identity using your device's unique IP address. When I use ExpressVPN, they can't see my IP address at all. My identity is anonymized by a secure VPN server. Plus, ExpressVPN encrypts 100% of my internet data for protection from hackers and eavesdroppers. ExpressVPN is by far the best VPN I've tried. It's the VPN rated number one by Business Insider, The Verge, countless other tech publications. And it couldn't be easier to use. The app has one button, you tap it, and now you are protected. It is that simple. Defend your right to privacy, protect yourself at expressvpn.com/Ben Shapiro. That's ExpressVPN.com/Ben Shapiro. Get 3 months for free. That's ExpressVPN.com/Ben Shapiro to learn more. Alrighty, coming up, Twitter. Now, always making sure to protect Democrats at all costs. Well, now they're adding more content guardrails. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Axiom Repertory Theater presents live on stage Mel Brooks' madcap comedy, Young Frankenstein.
If you're blue and you don't know where to go to, why don't you go where fashion sits?
Young Frankenstein, May 6th through the 29th. Tickets at the box office on Bocelli Lane or online at axreptheater.com.
Retirement may seem to be in the distant future, or it may suddenly arrive overnight. At Stifel Investments, we are committed to working closely with our clients. Planning tomorrow means understanding the challenges of today. Uncertain markets, rising costs, and longer lifespans. As a financial advisor of 25 years, I'm committed to helping my clients achieve retirement success. Let's get started today. This is Susan Eastman, Stifel Nicholas & Company, 244-7199.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
down.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
What does great pizza and ice-cold beer have in common? Charlus Tap House, of course. Charlus Pizza, made from scratch with old family recipes using only the finest ingredients. Charlus will not disappoint when you bite into the cheesy, creamy, meaty goodness of their hand-tossed crispy crust. It's an experience you won't find anywhere else in Reading. Pizza just brings people together for food and fun. Charlus Tap House also offers house specials, homemade pastas, sandwiches, soups, and delicious salads. Everything is homemade using secret family recipes. Be sure to try their famous house special every Friday and Saturday night. Tender, mouth-watering prime rib. Remember, Charlus Tap House offers a wall of tap beer, your old favorite brews, and new additions on demand. It's the ultimate beer experience. Just grab your tap wall card at the counter and pour your favorite or try something new. Charlus Tap House, rule number one. Come from a homemade pizza. Stay from a beer wall. You'll find Charlus Tap House in two locations, in the Anderson Outlets and in Reading, at the corner of Shasta and East Street. Charlus Tap House for dine-in, takeout, delivery, and catering. Charlus Tap House, bringing family and friends together.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So Twitter has now announced they're adding more content guardrails because they can be the arbiters of total truth. According to the Wall Street Journal, this is a potential flashpoint with the company's prospective new owner, Elon Musk, who has said he wants the social media platform to dial back on moderating tweets. The company said on Thursday it plans to slow what it deems misinformation around crises including armed conflicts, natural disasters, and public health emergencies, and to elevate credible information. So when you can't win, rig the game, I guess is the idea. By the way, didn't we already see this? You know, there's never been any problem with Twitter or social media restricting the free flow of information around controversial issues like public health emergencies. I mean, they would never get that wrong. It's not as though they would immediately just begin to censor people who had serious questions to ask about the age striation of COVID or the source of where COVID came from in the first place or lockdown policy. It's not as though they would ever just, you know, censor people or ban them for making basic observations about that sort of stuff. Twitter said it defines a crisis as a situation in which there is widespread threat to life, physical safety, health, or basic subsistence. The company said it would determine whether claims are misleading through verification from multiple credible publicly available sources, including evidence from conflict monitoring groups, humanitarian organizations, journalists, and others. That's going to go great because all of those people are super duper trustworthy. And you can listen to like the journalists of the New York Times. That'd be good, probably. This will always be good. Hopefully, if Elon Musk does end up going through with his purchase of Twitter, then he will put a stop to that. Speaking of which, Elon Musk suggested the other day that when he said he was not going to vote Democrat, there would be a wave of attacks on him. Well, the wave has begun. So according to The Verge suddenly, within like a day of this, has come up with the news that SpaceX reportedly paid $250,000 to cover up Elon Musk's sexual misconduct. According to The Verge, SpaceX reportedly paid a flight attendant $250,000 to ensure she didn't speak out or sue the company after Elon Musk allegedly exposed himself and propositioned her for sex, according to a report from Business Insider. According to one of the flight attendant's friends, the alleged victim worked as a crew member on a SpaceX corporate flight. During one of the flights, the attendant told her friend Musk asked her for a full-body massage in his room. Reportedly, this was not unusual, and SpaceX had encouraged the attendant to get a masseuse license. During the massage, Musk allegedly removed the sheet that was covering the lower half of his body, showing her his penis. While rubbing her leg, he reportedly offered to buy the attendant a horse if she would do more. The story notes the attendant rode horses. The allegations were relayed to Insider by one of the flight attendant's friends, who was asked by the attendant's attorney to sign a declaration backing up the claims in 2018. The friend told Insider the attendant refused to carry out any sexual acts on Musk and that she was really upset following the flight. The friend also said SpaceX cut down on the number of shifts she was given following the incident, which the attendant saw as a sign of retaliation. Apparently, the attendant filed a complaint to the SpaceX HR department in 2018, saying her career with the company had suffered because of her refusal. The company took the complaint to a mediator, not a court or an arbitrator, and signed the attendant to a $250,000 severance agreement, barring her from saying anything bad about Musk or his companies, including SpaceX and Tesla. This included talking about the payment itself. Musk apparently said there was a lot more to the story. He said it was a politically motivated hit piece. He had warned that he would be the victim of such tricks. Now, let me just say this. a $250,000 settlement when you're talking about alleging that one of the richest people on planet Earth propositioned you for sex and then retaliated against you via his company? That is called a nuisance settlement. Okay, that is what that is right there. Just anybody who knows corporate law understands this. Just the legal bills on something like this outstrip $250,000 easily, by far. The bad publicity at a trial outstrips the cost of this, by far. And if she really had the goods, and if she had witnesses, and she had any evidence whatsoever, if any of that had been the case, you think that her lawyers would have told her to settle for $250,000 from Elon Musk? Are you out of your mind? Are you crazy? The friend of the flight attendant said that the attendant told her about the misconduct while they were on a hike together shortly after the London trip. The friend described the attendant as distraught and visibly shaken. She was really upset, the friend said. She didn't know what to do. Again, she could be telling the truth. I'm just saying that the timing of this story is really, really suspicious. Not only is the timing suspicious, the $250,000 severance payment is not enough to pay for credible allegations of this sort. The friend told Insider she decided to come forward without consulting the flight attendant, which that's a great friend right there, because when you blow the settlement, that's always good. Because as a survivor of sexual assault, she felt an obligation to share what she'd been told about Musk. Unlike the flight attendant, her friend is not bound by any non-disclosure agreement. She said, I absolutely felt the responsibility to come forward with it, especially now. He's the richest man in the world. Someone with that level of power causing that kind of harm and then throwing some money at the situation, that's not accountability. There are predators all over the world. But when someone is particularly wealthy and powerful, they literally have systems that are like a machine working for them to set them up to be able to do whatever they want. Remaining silent, said the friend, would make her complicit. You become part of the machine that allows someone like Elon Musk to continue to do the horrible things that he has done. The friend said, her primary concern was clearly her client. She said before she reached out to the insider, she called the attorney who represented the victim, and the attorney told her that she was free to speak to the press, but sharing any documents could put the flight attendant at risk. She recalled the attorney saying the confidentiality provisions are BS, and that if any other women have been victimized by Musk, they ought to come forward. But the attorney urged the friend not to share the declaration. The attorney did not respond to requests for a comment. So, again, I find this highly non-convincing. Let's put it that way. The media are trying to now cobble together an entire case against Elon Musk. They're trying to take him out politically. None of this is a shock. The media do this sort of stuff all the time. They're trying to drag up allegations that there was sexual harassment at a Tesla factory where men at the factory ogled women and remarked on their clothes, according to complaints, leading some women to wear baggy outfits and use stacks of boxes to obstruct the views of leering coworkers. Again, this... I don't even know. How do you evidence this? How do you evidence this? But apparently evidence is no longer really necessary in any case. So there is that. Meanwhile, in other bad news for Democrats, the knockdown drag-out battle that's happening at the New York congressional level continues. So Hakeem Jeffries is very upset because the new map that's been drawn in New York is creating all sorts of havoc. It's wreaking havoc inside the Democratic contingent. You've got Sean Maloney, the head of the DCCC, who's now going up in the same district as another young, up-and-coming progressive congressperson and being encouraged to step down. You have a disaster area brewing with regard to some of the other New York maps, including Carolyn Maloney going up against Jerry Nadler. I mean, it's just a mess. So Jeffries has now launched an aggressive effort to discredit a proposed congressional map that would divide historically black neighborhoods in New York, likening its configuration to Jim Crow tactics. Jeffries is spending tens of thousands of dollars on digital advertising as part of a scorched earth campaign to try to stop New York courts from making the new map final without changes later this week. Jeffries said, we find ourselves in an all-hands-on-deck moment. In his most recent ad, he said the changes took a sledgehammer to black districts. It's enough to make Jim Crow blush. Amazing how Jim Crow has really evolved in America. Jim Crow went from, you know, black people not being able to vote and being prohibited from going to the same restaurants as white people and being prohibited from going to the same schools as white people and being prohibited from marrying white people. It went from that to people having to show ID in Georgia and also districts not being drawn to Hakeem Jeffries' specific liking in the state of New York, an extraordinarily blue state. So Jim Crow is really morphing around here. After New York's highest court struck down Democrat-friendly maps drawn by the state legislature as unconstitutional last month, the judges have vested near total power in Jonathan Service, a New York court-appointed special master. Service's initial proposal unwound a map gerrymandered by the Democratic-led state legislature, creating new pickup opportunities for Republicans, but it also significantly altered the shapes of districts in New York City. carefully drawn a decade earlier by another court that reflected a patchwork of racial, geographic, and economic divides. Jeffries was far from alone in lodging last-ditch appeals. The court was inundated with hundreds of comments suggesting revisions from both Democrats and Republicans, from party lawyers pressing for more politically favorable lines to an analysis of the difference between Jewish families on the east and west sides of Manhattan. The proposed map would divide Bedford's Stuyvesant, Crown Heights, and Brownsville, culturally significant black communities in Brooklyn, between the 8th and 9th congressional districts. Each neighborhood currently falls in one or the other. So things are just going swimmingly for the Democrats here. Probably if they talk about racism and abortion more, then it'll go fine for them in 2022, I think. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. President Biden in South Korea this evening on the first leg of his Asian trip. But while out of the country, White House correspondent Greg Clugston says the president still has several crises to deal with here at home.
The president's six-day foreign trip is aimed at boosting U.S. alliances with democratic partners in the Indo-Pacific region. But even as he visits South Korea and Japan, Mr. Biden must continue to deal with domestic problems, which include stubborn inflation, recession fears, and a nationwide shortage of infant formula.
The president is spending the night at the Grand Hyatt in Seoul. Migrants have been expelled more than 1.9 million times since March of 2020 under federal Title 42 authority, and that restriction will remain in effect after Monday. A federal judge in Louisiana is refusing to end pandemic-related restrictions on those seeking asylum at the southern border. A lot more people have a lot less confidence in the president.
President Biden's approval rating is at 39%, the lowest point of his presidency, according to a poll by the Associated Press and the NORC Center for Public Research. Only 2 out of 10 American adults say the U.S. is headed in the right direction. That's down 10% from a month ago, with disappointed Democrats leading the drop. The findings reflect widespread exasperation in a country facing higher gas prices and interest rates, overall inflation, a shortage of baby formula, gun violence, and a persistent pandemic. Jennifer King, Washington.
A tornado that hammered a northern Michigan town killed at least one person, injured nearly 24 others. The twister ripped through Gaylord, a city of about 4,200, mid-afternoon. The conservative Catholic Archbishop of San Francisco will no longer allow House Speaker Nancy Pelosi to receive communion because of her support for abortion rights and her desire to codify the Supreme Court's Roe v. Wade decision into law. More news and analysis at townhall.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest-rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Germany's finance minister says the group of seven are set to agree on more than $18 billion in aid for Ukraine defense efforts.
U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen spoke this week about the need for allies to put together enough additional aid to help Ukraine get through the Russian invasion. The U.S. earlier announced a shipment of $100 million in military equipment to Ukraine. That's separate from what will be sent from the $40 billion approved Thursday by Congress.
Jeremy House reporting. A court in Germany has cast doubt on claims by a German farmer that automaker Volkswagen was partly responsible for the impact global warming is having on his family business. The plaintiff alleges drier soil and heavier rains due to climate change are harming his fields, cattle, and commercial forests. He claims VW, the world's second biggest automaker, has contributed to the damage. More at townhall.com. A mixed stock market ends the week.
The Dow up 8 points today to close at 31,261. The NASDAQ lost 33 to 11,354. The S&P 500 gained fractionally to 3,901. New York oil rose $1.02 to $113.23 a barrel. I'm John Scott.
A federal judge dismissing a securities fraud and defamation lawsuit filed by Tesla investor by a Tesla investor against CEO Elon Musk, the company, and a Musk supporter. The plaintiff says the case fell short of making plausible claims. Meanwhile, a Delaware judge agreed to expedite a Twitter shareholder lawsuit challenging Musk's proposed buyout of the social media giant. However, the justice noted she was extremely skeptical of the plaintiff's claims. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2242 or online at homecomfort.org, and they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Today's show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. Do you like your web history being seen and sold to advertisers? No? Me neither. Get ExpressVPN right now at ExpressVPN.com/Ben Shapiro. Well, Israel has an election about every 35 seconds, and it's been 35 seconds, so that means it's time for a new election. If you've not been following what's going on in Israel, basically, Israel has a coalition governmental system, parliamentary system. There are 120 seats in the Israeli Knesset, which is their parliament. You have to have at least 61 in order to maintain a serious majority. If you have 60, you can cobble together at least a stable non-minority. And what happened is that Benjamin Netanyahu had been prime minister for well over a decade in Israel, the longest-serving prime minister in Israeli history. He had basically been serving with a minority of the government in place because they kept having elections and nobody could emerge with a majority. So finally, there was a majority that emerged. That majority was completely mishkebobbled in the Yiddish. It was just a complete mess. It was basically everyone who didn't like Benjamin Netanyahu personally, but a bunch of people who held nothing else in common. So the prime minister ended up being a guy named Naftali Bennett. Naftali Bennett controlled, out of the 120 seats, a party that controlled 6 seats in the Knesset. Benjamin Netanyahu was not prime minister, and he had like 31, 32 seats in the Knesset. A guy with 6 seats in the Knesset ended up as the prime minister because he cobbled together a coalition that involved a bunch of left-wing parties, like really left-wing parties like Meretz, an Arab party called Ra'am, which actually has some overt sympathy toward Palestinian terrorism, some right-wing parties like Avigdor Lieberman and Gedeon Sar, and then a sort of center-right party run by Yair Lapid. Okay, so bottom line is, all that coalition was the not Netanyahu coalition. It's as though it was almost the equivalent of the 2020 election, basically. So like everybody who didn't like Donald Trump showed up to vote for the non-entity that was Joe Biden. And it was kind of like that in Israel the last election cycle. A lot of people voted for a lot of different parties. And when you cobbled all those parties together, you maybe got to 61 seats in the Knesset. Well, the problem was that if you drop below 60, now the government falls apart. So a few weeks ago, one of the members of Bennett's own party, the prime minister in his own party, dropped out, and he said, I'm no longer going to sit with this coalition. No. So now is it 60? Okay, 60 is enough to prevent a vote of no confidence and to prevent the government from falling. But then yesterday, an MK from Meretz, which is the far-left party, it's like the squad of Israel. Meretz, an MK, bolted the government. According to the Jerusalem Post, the government of Prime Minister Naftali Bennett and alternate Prime Minister Yair Lapid suffered a serious blow on Thursday when another MK announced she is leaving their governing coalition. Meretz MK Khaida Renawi Zoabi sent a letter to Bennett and Lapid saying she no longer saw herself as part of the coalition. She also announced she would not accept her appointment as Israel's next consul general in Shanghai. She said, I entered politics because I saw myself as an emissary of Arab society, which I represent. Unfortunately, over the last few months, for narrow political reasons, the heads of the coalition preferred to strengthen their right side. Again and again, the heads of the coalition preferred to take harsh, hawkish right-wing steps on key issues related to Arab society. So she cited the fact that, for example, the government has not allowed people to simply squat on land in the Negev desert, and the government of Israel has not allowed for riots to take place on the Temple Mount. An apparently sufficient amount. And so she walked out of the coalition. And this basically now throws Israel into another election. So Israel is headed for another election. This next election, Bibi Netanyahu is probably expected to win. So Bibi Netanyahu, now the country has gotten a look at what it looks like when Netanyahu is not prime minister. And kind of like some people think might happen in 2024 in the United States. They're like, well, this kind of sucks. And I didn't like that guy very much, but I got to tell you, what came after him is really, really not good. So now there are a bunch of people in Israel who are swiveling back toward the Bibi camp. And so polls right now have Netanyahu scoring maybe 38, 39 seats in Knesset. So that means that there is a better than average shot that Netanyahu actually ends up as the prime minister again. So they wrote his political obituary like 6 months ago. And no, he was not hardly dead, gang. He is going to be back in all likelihood. He's also going to be back in all likelihood because there was an ongoing trial for corruption. And the prosecution absolutely and completely blew it. I mean, really blew it. It's pretty amazing. According to Yaakov Katz, who is the editor-in-chief of the Jerusalem Post, he points out that the trial of Bibi Netanyahu basically fell apart this week because on Sunday, the prosecution actually asked the court to amend its indictment. The basis for that request was Netanyahu's attorney's success in proving through a mix of GPS data and the prime minister's office security records that Netanyahu could not have met with the state's chief witness, and it was that state's witness who was going to be the guy who testified that Netanyahu had done something corrupt in that meeting. So that completely fell apart. So now it looks a lot as though Netanyahu may return to power again. It's pretty amazing stuff. Now, it's possible that they can somehow pull the chestnuts out of the fire. The Jerusalem Post has a few different possibilities for, theoretically, how that could happen, but that seems pretty unlikely. That seems pretty unlikely at this point. So it looks like they're headed to a new election. Yair Lapid, who is the current foreign minister, but the alternative prime minister, he's the one who's hardest hit. This is the second time in three elections that he has let somebody else be prime minister first, and he would be the alternative prime minister. And then they never get to him being the alternative prime minister. So Yair Lapid, who, frankly, is kind of an interesting guy. I've spoken with him before. I think he has some interesting ideas. But he's kind of in the position of always the bridesmaid, never the bride, when it comes to these coalitional governments. Meanwhile, by the way, it is amazing that the Arab member of the coalition is the person who walked out, considering how lax this administration in Israel has been with regard to security issues. I mean, literally yesterday, four Arabs in northern Jerusalem were throwing stones at vehicles and raising Palestinian flags on the Road 21 between Shuafat and Ramat Shlomo on Thursday evening, according to the police. And this sort of activity has been going on en masse in Israel for quite a while. So chaos once again in the Israeli electoral system. Well, that's just a day ending in Y over there. All right, in just 1 second, we'll get to the latest on Ukraine. The United States now giving $40 billion more in support to the Ukrainians first. With so many people fleeing for their lives in Ukraine, not knowing exactly where they will sleep or if they will eat, we're praying you'll help us join to help protect and save Jewish lives in harm's way in Ukraine. The International Fellowship of Christians and Jews has been on the ground for over 30 years, dating back to the days of the Soviet Union. They're there to provide all the basic needs, food, clothing, shelter, medical care to those in need, particularly to elderly and the orphans. And of course, the fellowship is very focused on Aliyah, on bringing Jews wherever they are in danger, home to Israel and out of danger zone. As the situation continues to deteriorate, orphan kids, elderly Holocaust survivors are at special risk. Your gift of $45 helps provide desperately needed basic necessities like food, water, blankets, medicine, and shelter, as well as safety and security. Please head on over right now to rescuejews.org or call 800-331-3737. Make a generous donation. Help these precious Jews in Ukraine escape the conflict itself. Head on over to rescuejews.org or call 800-331-3737. Again, your gift of $45 will be matched right now. Go check them out right now, rescuejews.org, and make the magic happen. Alrighty, so the situation in Ukraine is beginning to become a little bit more complex. So for a while, the narrative was basically just that the Ukrainians were winning. They're pushing Moscow back on all fronts. Now, apparently, Moscow is going to do what I thought they were going to do in the first place. They're formally annexing a bunch of the land they currently occupy. According to the New York Times, thrust from its triumph over the last armed Ukrainian resistance in the devastated city of Mariupol, Russia appeared to be laying the groundwork on Thursday for annexing swaths of southeast Ukraine, described by a high-ranking Kremlin official as having a worthy place in our Russian family. The official, Russia's deputy prime minister for infrastructure, toured the region this week and outlined plans to take full control of vital infrastructure, including Europe's largest nuclear power plant. In a further sign, Russia was preparing to push for the Russification of the region, the way it has already in Crimea. Russian officials have already moved to introduce it to the ruble currency, install proxy politicians in local governments, impose new school curricula, reroute internet servers through Russia, and cut the population off from Ukrainian broadcasts. Apparently, Russia is even intending to charge Ukraine for electricity generated by the Ukrainian nuclear plant that Russian forces commandeered, a plan that Russia, that Ukraine is now describing as extortion. So they took over the power plant, and now they're telling the Ukrainians, we're not going to provide you the power unless you pay us. Russia's moves came as the United States sought to further escalate pressure on the Kremlin. Biden is vowing to help gain speedy approval of applications by to NATO by Finland and Sweden. And they're saying that they are going to basically tell the Turks to sit down. The Turks are close to the Russians and therefore are attempting to hold this up somewhat. But the situation is complexifying pretty quickly. According to the Wall Street Journal, there are a few different scenarios for what exactly happens next. Situation one, a full Ukrainian collapse. Theoretically, you could have the Russians just pull out, but it seems that that would be almost unthinkable here. And there are a lot of people who are hoping it happens, but that would have some real consequences for the actual regime in Russia and whether it would be able to stand. Situation two would be a Ukrainian collapse. So it's not really clear where Ukraine's forces stand. I mean, everybody's sort of high on their own supply with regard to how well Ukraine has fought back against the Russians. But it is still true that Russia is a far larger country with a far larger military than Ukraine. Michael Clark, former director of the Royal United Services Institute, a London security think tank, said that Joe Biden's request to Congress for $33 billion in long-term military aid is a signal he will do whatever it takes to ensure Ukraine does not go under, which makes it less plausible that Ukraine could be beaten. And this is one of the reasons why it's important that the United States continue to provide aid. Mitch McConnell correctly pointing out yesterday that if you don't give them the aid, then eventually you're going to end up having to pay a pretty steep price for attempting to sort of backfill the problem.
Innocent Ukrainians have been subjected to wanton cruelty, but aid for Ukraine goes far beyond charity. The future of American security and core strategic interests will be shaped by the outcome of this fight. Anyone concerned about the cost of supporting a Ukrainian victory should consider the much larger cost should Ukraine lose.
Okay, possibility number three is just a quagmire. This battle continues indefinitely. Possibility number four is Ukrainian advances continue. And possibility number five, according to the Wall Street Journal, is escalation. And frankly, it seems like escalation might happen unless there is some sort of Ukrainian-Russian settlement. Russia is annexing territory right now as we speak. And so it'll be sort of interesting to see in which direction this goes. All right, in just one second, we'll be speaking with Joe Lonsdale about his attempts to bring some sort of rationality and reason to local government. He moved his company from Silicon Valley to Texas, and now he's been using his resources in order to fight back against the wokeification of local government. We'll get to that in just one second. First, you know what big tech and big government have in common? They like silencing dissenting voices. So let's say you're a proud gun owner, and you want to talk on social media about the right to keep and bear arms. Well, the chances are your post will be flagged by a content moderator. You might end up on a government watch list. To fight back against having your voices censored by both big tech and big government, I recommend ExpressVPN. See, here's the problem. Big tech can track what you do online, what you're searching for, the videos you watch, everything you click. They can match your activity to your true identity using your device's unique IP address. When I use ExpressVPN, they can't see my IP address at all. My identity is anonymized by secure VPN server. Plus, ExpressVPN encrypts 100% of my internet data for protection from hackers and eavesdroppers. ExpressVPN is by far the best VPN I've tried. It is the VPN rated number one by Business Insider, The Verge, and countless other tech publications. It's really easy to use. The app has one button. You tap it. You're protected. It's that simple. Defend your right to privacy. Protect yourself at expressvpn.com/Ben Shapiro today. That's ExpressVPN.com/Ben Shapiro. You can get 3 months for free. That's ExpressVPN.com/Ben Shapiro to learn more. Alrighty, so local governments all over the United States seem completely incapable of handling their problems. This is because you have too many local governmental officials who seem to be invested in the idea that their ideology matters more than the living standards of the people that they govern. This ranges from Chase Bowden over in San Francisco to apparently the entire government of the city of Austin. One of the people fighting back against this is Joe Lonsdale. He's a significant investor. He runs a major capital investment fund, and he's using resources at his disposal to fight back, to move local governments to do the right thing for their citizens. We'll talk to Joe in just one second about how he's doing that. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of the Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
It's a bright new day. The sun is shining. The birds are singing. And there's never been a better day to try Mount Shasta spring water. Hi, I'm Bob the Drop. I come from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta. I'm bottled at the source. It doesn't get more cool and refreshing than that. And it's delivered right to your door. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. Start your bright new day by calling 1-800-922-6227 to order some of the best tasting water on the planet. Mount Shasta spring water. It's a bright new day. The sun is shining. The birds are singing. And there's never been a better day to try Mount Shasta spring water. Hi, I'm Bob the Drop. I come from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta. I'm bottled at the source. It doesn't get more cool and refreshing than that. And it's delivered right to your door. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. Start your bright new day by calling 1-800-922-6227 to order some of the best tasting water on the planet. Mount Shasta spring water.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere ag and turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Joining me on the line, Joe Lonsdale, technology entrepreneur and investor, managing partner at 8VC, a U.S.-based venture capital firm that manages several $1 billion in committed capital. He was an early institutional investor in a lot of notable technology startups, and he also has a podcast called The American Optimist. Joe, thanks so much for joining the show. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Ben. Good to see you.
So let's talk about some of the things that you've been doing in terms of political activity with the nonpartisan Cicero Institute pushing some good legislation around the country. I think there's a lot of focus, obviously, on what happens on the federal level, but it seems like most of the good stuff right now that's happening in the country is happening on the state level.
It's the state's the place to get things done. And there's, you know, there's just so many things that are broken in this country. There's so many. It's a target-rich environment. I think the most interesting one, Ben, might be the homeless situation we have pretty much everywhere, where it's being screwed up both by the states and by the federal government, by the way.
So let's talk about some of the stuff that you guys have actually been pushing forward in these cities and states and other areas, harnessing sort of freedom principles in order to improve lives.
Exactly. You know, I want to give you some context. You know, in Austin, for example, you know, the mayor in 2018 he went to San Francisco, he went to LA, he said, how can I be more like you and learn from you guys? Which is totally insane, right? If you look at SF in LA. But the reason he did that is that there's just so much money in the homeless complex that Austin wasn't getting and SF was. And he went to them and they said, you know what? You got to show people that capitalism doesn't work. You got to put it in their faces. So he came back and he put all the homeless camps downtown and it was a giant mess. And so we said, oh, wow, we got to fix this. We're not, you know, we just moved here from California. We're not going to let what happened in SF and LA happen here. And you go and we started looking into it, Ben. And like we'd follow these homeless guys around with the philanthropic groups. And, you know, one of them was like a middle-aged Mexican guy, just lost his job. He went to the center of downtown. And they said, you know, sir, you deserve a home. And he said, no, I thought this was a training center to figure out what to do if I lost my home and my job. And they said, sir, you deserve a permanent home. And we looked into it. So it turns out he goes back. They show him how to get a tent downtown so he can get a home. He comes back in 2 months later and he looks and he say, oh, you just missed getting a home. You don't have enough points. And he studied the system and he said, oh, but I would get more points if I committed a crime or if I was addicted to drugs. And they said, yeah, we don't like to talk about it that way, but that's true. You would have a home now if you were either committing crimes or on drugs. And so we looked into this, Ben. It's totally insane the way they set this up. The incentives for all of our cities around the country are to go on drugs and commit crimes. And, you know, it's just really messed up. And so we're going into states and we're saying, you know what? These cities are crazy. These nonprofits, by the way, are crazy. There's 7,000 nonprofits that get money from HUD, from the federal government, that all have this supportive housing, you know, they all have this like permanent supportive housing framework. And it turns out, Ben, that if you try to give people permanent supportive housing, it sounded good to me 10 years ago. You say, you know what, there's homeless people, let's all just build homes for them, right? It solves the problem. Let's build all these homes for them. It turns out there's actually about 3 or 4 million people in our country who want homes. And the people who get the homes first are not the 5,000, 10,000 people on the street. It's the connected people who are connected to the people on the left who are running these things who can go and can kind of pretend they're either maybe they're really on drugs, maybe they're pretending, and they just cheat in line. So there's infinite demand for homes. So you're never going to solve the problem by building more homes, right? You're never going to get that. So what do you actually have to do? So what we have to do, we have to pass laws that actually solve the problem. So like 75% of these people are on drugs, 75% of our mental illness. What we need is we need pay for performance. We need camping bans, first of all, no camping, and then pay for performance to actually get people off the streets. And it works, and we're doing it in a few states. Missouri just signed an awesome law into effect that has like 8 of these different things where it's all these different incentives for these non-permanent supportive housing. You know, you force them to enforce their camping bans because the left-leaning cities don't want to enforce camping bans, and you actually force them to use the money for things that are tied to metrics.
So yeah, have you had any pushback from Democrats, or is it bipartisan that people are starting to figure out that this is a bad idea?
You know, it's interesting. The moderate Democrats you'll talk to, and the majority will agree with you, especially if you like sit down and just look at it together and say, okay, we have trust. We both want to help homeless people. What do we actually, what actually works, right? Because they look at SF, you know, more people died than got a home in SF last year, right? And a quarter of the people, even after getting this permanent supportive housing, they died in the permanent supportive housing because they're still on drugs. It's not solving the problem. So the moderates agree with you. The far left, it's like a religion. It's like a religion. Like you're trying to talk to these people, well, they'll go all the, and by the way, it's not just that it's religion, it's corruption. So we'll go to these places, we'll go to any kind of, you know, in Atlanta, we were working on it, and we were so close. We had all the votes to pass these things, and all these homeless groups came, like 100 of them, and they were threatened. They do not want to have any accountability, they do not want to have any transparency, and they all start chanting, and they do all their usual things. They call the group racist, you know, they say you don't care about homeless people, they just really vicious attacks. And so, unfortunately, in the blue states, the far left and the corruption kind of has been able to stop it. But it looks like we're getting it done in Missouri. We're really close in Arizona. The first year in Arizona, all the homeless groups, our lobbyists and the people in the Arizona House, they said they've never had anyone push back this hard because these people were so angry. Because it's their money, right? You're challenging the money these groups are making because you know they hire all their friends. They pay themselves ridiculous salaries. So we have had some progress, and we have had some cases. I'm really excited. Missouri, the governor has to sign the law still, but we actually did get done a bunch of laws there. But if these people push back so hard.
It's really amazing. Well, you know, you talk about wokeism and the far left as a religion. Well, the place that is sort of the church of the far left and wokeism is, of course, the university system. One of the other areas in which you are involved, Joe Lonsdale, is in the building of the University of Austin. We've talked about that on the program before. It's the creation of a brand new university in Austin that is dedicated to the principle of open investigation of ideas, no discrimination on the basis of politics, a willingness to actually countenance ideas from the right that has basically been banned throughout the university system. How's that effort going?
You know, it's going really well, Ben. We've raised more than $100 million. We have 500 acres just east of Austin where we're going to build out the university. And it's really tied to this exact same issue. Right now in our society, You have lots of places where there's clear substantive answers, and we need to train young people to be courageous and to think and to pursue the truth. And you know what happens right now at these universities is there's no intellectual humility, first of all. Everyone already has the answers. They have their virtue signaling religion. They don't really care what the truth is beyond that. They don't respect people in the conversation. You're not able to, you're demonized if you disagree with them. And they don't care about pursuing truth. So I think those three things are key to the university, is intellectual humility, respecting both sides of the conversation, actually pursuing truth. And, you know, those are the Enlightenment values that created, you know, the success in Western civilization, success in America. And if we're going to make a top university that competes with Harvard, Stanford, Princeton, Yale, and we're actually going to try to reinculcate those values in our leaders, because that's what we need in our society.
That's Joe Lonsdale, technology entrepreneur and investor over at 8VC, where he is the managing partner. Joe, thanks for all of your hard work, and thanks for doing so much good stuff on behalf of the country. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Ben.
All right, we'll be back in just one second with much more. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Veterans, did you know that Shasta County Veterans Service Office is open to all veterans who have served our nation? Whether a combat veteran or a member of the reserves with limited active duty time, you have earned benefits. If you have any military benefit or veteran-related questions, call 530-225-5616 or stop by Shasta County Veterans Service Office at 1855 Shasta Street, Redding, California. This message is brought to you by Korean War veteran Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary, California Veterans Affairs.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance is now open at 3673 Eureka Way. Physical therapists Kevin Elo and Rachel Lang have a combined 29 years of experience in helping those who've suffered orthopedic injuries, strains, and sprains. Kevin has worked with the USA Gymnastics team, NFL Combine, and professional BMX riders. He's also helped members of Cirque du Soleil get back into action. Rachel works closely with seniors and is also a group fitness instructor and adept at returning people to an active lifestyle. Both Kevin and Rachel at Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance are accepting new clients. Give them a call today, 530-533-5030. If you are in need of physical therapy, talk to the experts at Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance at 3673 Eureka Way. Call 530-533-5030. That's 530-533-5030 today.
When you think of May, think Mako. Mako Collision Repair and Auto Painting Center at 3045 Crossroads Drive. Mako offers a variety of services including collision repair, a full new paint job, and they can touch up scrapes and scratches. So when you think of May, think Mako at 3045 Crossroads Drive. Make an appointment today for a free estimate. They also offer a military discount. Call 530-226-0992. That's 530-226-0992. Or stop by Mako today.
North State Relief, a nonprofit serving Northern California communities, is raising awareness that there are free financial counseling services available to North State residents, provided by certified counselors at Balance Pro. They offer free HUD certified financial counseling for debt, rental, and mortgage assistance, student loans, and financial counseling for veterans and fire victims. Get advice from the pros at balancepro.org or by calling 1-800-777-PLAN. That's 1-800-777-7526.
At Shasta Regional Medical Group, we're focused on the health matters that matter to you, like having a primary care doctor you trust. Our physicians put patients first. They take the time to listen to your needs and concerns, and they provide the information you need to make good decisions about your own health. At Shasta Regional Medical Group, you have an integrated network of caregivers and specialists working to serve you in a compassionate, patient-centered environment. We're conveniently located right across the street from Shasta Regional Medical Center. To make an appointment, call Shasta Regional Medical Group today at 605-4260. or visit us online at ShastaRegionalMedicalGroup.com. Shasta Regional Medical Group. Your primary care is our primary concern.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
.com.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Joining us on the line is Ian Rowe. He's a resident fellow at the American Enterprise Institute. He focuses on education and upward mobility, family formation, and adoption. He also has a brand new book out. It's titled Agency, the 4-point plan for all children to overcome the victimhood narrative and discover their pathway to power. Ian, thanks so much for joining the show. Really appreciate it.
It's so great to see you again. Thank you for having me on.
So why don't we begin with the nature of the problem? It seems that a huge number of Americans across the political aisle, young Americans of every race, now feel that they are not in control of their own lives. There are some racial differentials in that, but it seems as though we have a set of competing narratives from pretty much every side telling young people that they don't have the ability to succeed no matter how they try, and so they should probably just sort of give up. Can you kind of describe the nature of the problem right now?
Sure. I describe it as an equal opportunity tsunami. I've been running schools in the heart of the South Bronx for the last decade, and I'm now launching a new international baccalaureate high school. You know, I see thousands of kids every day, and it's really accelerated over the last few years. And as you say, I think it's kids of all races, all income levels too, that I feel like there are these two dominant meta narratives that are holding young people back from really determining whether or not they can lead a self-determined life. And I call these two meta narratives blame the system, and the other is blame the victim. In the blame the system narrative, if you're not achieving the American dream, it's because America itself is the problem. It's an inherently oppressive nation based on race, class, gender. You know, there's a white supremacist lurking on every corner. Capitalism is evil. And these systems are so rigged, so discriminatory. They're so against you. The only intervention is a massive government redistribution or social transformation before you can have a chance to succeed. And on the other side, the blame the victim. America is not the problem. If you're not succeeding, you're the problem, right? It's some pathology that you have. You haven't lifted yourself up by your own bootstraps. There's something you've done wrong. And I see young people awash in these narratives, and these half truths add up to a singular lie. And I thought it was really important to create a new framework that young people could embrace around this idea of agency.
So let's talk about that framework that you're creating here, because it really is, as you say, something that is slightly different from what has been proposed before. And there's a lot of focus here on the power of family and community. So from the right side of the aisle, a lot of conservatives are used to talking about this sort of stuff, but a lot of libertarians are not. There's a sort of idea that people are supposed to kind of act as individualistic, atomistic agents in their own lives, and that just sort of ignores social circumstance. And from the left, there are a lot of people who basically disagree with the idea that individuals are at all responsible for their own activities.
Exactly.
What are the foundations here?
Yeah, so agency is individually practiced, but socially empowered, right? And I define agency as the force of your free will guided by moral discernment. The force of your free will guided by moral discernment. So think of agency as like a vector or velocity, where velocity is not just speed, it's speed and direction. So if each one of us as human beings has free will, where do we get the ability to become a morally discerning person to determine right or wrong? And that's why I've created this framework that I call FREE: family, religion, education, and entrepreneurship. Those four pillars, if more young people would embrace those institutions, given everything we know about human development, I think we'd see a cascade of empowerment. And I think we'd see young people no longer buying into this victimhood narrative.
So how do we actually effectuate the sort of materialization of these foundations that you're talking about? Because a lot of the institutions that you talk about here, family, religion, education, it seems like a lot of these institutions are just falling apart from the inside. Families formation has fallen off a cliff. Religious institutions have less adherence than maybe ever before in human history. Educational institutions, especially public education, is completely falling apart. How do we shore up institutions or build new ones here?
Well, what's interesting, and again, I run schools. So in any community where what you've just described is happening, where families are falling apart or schools are not effective, in those same communities, you also have strong families, strong school choice, strong faith commitment. So as an example of how you effectuate this, family, which is the foundational unit for all of society, it's not about the family that you're from. You know, if the data shows that for women 24 and under in 2019, the non-marital birth rate across all races was 71%. It was 61% in the white community and 91% in the black community. These are devastating numbers. But the way that I've structured agency in this framework of FREE, it's forward looking. So literally in the book, I actually have a curriculum unit that a teacher could teach that helps teach young people that there's this data that says if you finish your high school degree, get a full-time job of any kind, and then if you have children, marriage first, 97% of millennials who practice those behaviors in that order avoid poverty. A lot of people are very prickly about how you teach that, but I put in the book, here's a way you can teach this without demonizing, without moralizing. And so I've really tried to make the book a practical tool for how you can elevate family as young people think about their decisions as they enter young adulthood. How do you build a personal faith commitment in your life? Education, and then lastly, entrepreneurship. Because with a strong family, strong faith commitment, strong education, entrepreneurship actually includes work, but it also includes the American ethos of free enterprise and taking risks, taking informed risks. And so there's a whole section in there. And I really do believe this, we have to provide a compelling alternative to young people, because right now our nation's being ripped apart by these narratives.
We'll get to more with Ian in just one moment. First, you're far from ordinary, but the truth is ED is actually really, really common. In fact, 52% of dudes aged 40 to 70 experience some form of erectile dysfunction. Head on over to GetRoman.com/Ben right now. Speak with a U.S.-licensed healthcare professional about erectile dysfunction. Get $15 off your very first month of treatment. The benefits of ED treatment can help you reconnect with your partner and rediscover the joy of sex. Roman Ready is confidence personified. It's the self-assurance that comes from knowing that your biology is working the way that it is supposed to. Roman's system is completely confidential, totally discreet, no big logos or labels on the packages. With Roman, you get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for erectile dysfunction, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A U.S.-licensed healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, it ships you free with two-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward, convenient, and discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/Ben, complete an online visit today. Take care of your ED without leaving your home. Complete that online visit today. Connect with a U.S.-licensed healthcare professional and get it taken care of. Head on over to GetRoman.com/Ben. If you're prescribed, get $15 off your very first month of ED treatment. Make sure you're ready to have confidence and control this year. Roman Ready. That's GetRoman.com/Ben to get started. So let's talk about the headwinds for a second. So it seems like, you know, honestly, even just a few decades ago, this stuff would have been considered wildly uncontroversial. I mean, the notion that you're supposed to,
right.
I mean, like, really, really uncontroversial. You know, don't have kids before you are married. Finish high school. Get a job. Like, these are very basic notions. And yet, this has become so controversial that political actors on all sides of the aisle seem to be, you know, fighting against it. What you provide is an optimistic vision, but why are so many people buying into the pessimistic vision? Is it just because people don't like the idea of actually being held to account for their own life decisions, and so it's easier to blame external forces, or is there something else going on?
Yeah, it's interesting. So like you, although you do it much more frequently, I've been on college campuses, a number of them over the last couple of months, And I was at a law school, and I laid out this blame the victim, blame the system framework. And this one law student asked the question, well, if I can't blame the victim and I can't blame the system, then who do I blame? And it was just a very interesting, because his frame is that there's got to be some culprit. There's a deficit mindset as it relates to our country. And as I then described, well, you know, there is a different way to think about these issues, that we know a lot about what really drives human development. So yes, I do think there is a tendency for people to just be pessimistic, especially if that's the dominant narrative. But what I've found is that when I present this alternative, and young people who are inherently optimistic, I mean, it's why I run schools, they grab onto this idea. It's like, wait a minute. Okay, I get that. I can finish my schoolwork, you know, finish, get a job, and this is the data. And by the way, part of how we do this, you can't impose it. It's almost like a probabilities class. You say, if you make these decisions as it relates to, your passage into young adulthood, right? Get a job, you know, have kids after marriage, get a personal faith commitment. This is what the data shows, but ultimately you're the architect of your own life. You still have to choose. A few years ago, when I was visiting many great high schools across the country to inform the design of Vertex Partnership Academies, our new high school, I visited a ninth grade class in New Orleans, a great high school, and I shared with them that I'm designing this new high school, and there's some data, and I said to this group of ninth graders, almost all low income, almost all Black and Hispanic, and there's an Asian component too. I said, if you knew that there were a series of decisions in your control, that if you followed them, 97% of the people that have followed them would avoid poverty, would you want to know that? And they said, well, of course we'd want to know that. And I said, well, there are a lot of people who kind of feel that this is prickly. I might be patronizing to you. And they looked at me like I had a third eye, right? And so I proceeded to share this information. And we had
sees a incredible not science-based approach to what the vaccine actually does in terms of protecting severe disease and masking. I think I have a lot of sympathy for American people here. American people are very sensible around this. If we treat people like adults, tell people the data honestly and do not coerce them, just tell them who's at risk and what the data show, I think we do much better.
And Dr. Bhattacharya, one of the things that's driving me absolutely up a wall is the reality that for the people who are pushing these sorts of mandates, whether vaccine mandates or mask mandates, what they seem to be aiming for is something they just won't say, which is zero COVID. Originally we were told that we needed to lock down to stop the spread, which, you know, given the data that we had at the time, is at least somewhat understandable if, as it turns out, wrongheaded. Then it was, you need to mask up and you need to not go into your workplace in order to, you know, delay, at least until we get a vaccine, because we'll save some lives through the delay. Okay, fair enough. Then it was, make sure that you delay just a little longer until everybody has the opportunity to get the vaccine. Now everybody's had the opportunity to get the vaccine. Now they've articulated no actual endpoint, and the rationale that they are using for continued lockdowns and stimulus packages and vaccine mandates and mask mandates is the insane proposition that if a variant could ever occur anywhere on Earth from now on, we're going to have this possibility of lockdown materialize now, which is crazy because the Delta variant did not materialize in the United States. It materialized in India. The original Alpha variant materialized in Europe. Unless we mean to shut down all of our borders a la New Zealand and just stay that way forever, there just has to be in life a certain level of acceptable risk. But it seems like folks who are pushing these sorts of mandates have, without saying it, essentially argued that there is no level of acceptable risk with regard to COVID, and so we are going to have to mask up until the end of time.
Yeah, instead of a society that focuses on the well-being of its people, we will now have a society that focuses on the prevention of a single disease, the eradication of a single disease. And Ben, that will never happen. That will never happen. The disease is harbored by animals, for instance. Dogs, cats, bats, mink, all have found to have this virus, could carry this virus and potentially even transmit it. At least that's the theory, right? In order to actually get to zero, we would have to essentially end human society. So it's a crazy goal. We will have to learn to live with this disease. And we should be touting amazing good news. We have defanged this disease. And the first time in history, we have taken a deadly for a segment of the population, the respiratory virus, found a way to turn it into something much less deadly and reduced its risk before it's fully, you know, torn through society. We should be celebrating that success. Instead, we are it feels like we're back a little bit to where we were in December of last year, where we're saying, okay, well, we do these measures, masking up and then soon lockdowns, I suppose, and then say, look, this will stop the disease this time. You're right. They have not articulated the end goal. The end goal should be what we have now, protection of the vulnerable. The end goal cannot be zero COVID.
And Dr. Bhattacharya, the other thing that we've seen a lot of is talk about mandating vaccines, mandatory vaccines. The president of the United States says that the federal workforce, they're now going to either be essentially forced to get the vaccine or that they are going to have to test once a week, which makes no sense because obviously a once a week test is actually not enough. You could theoretically get a negative test on a Monday and then spend the rest of the week getting COVID. So that doesn't make any sense at all. What do you make of the argument for vaccine mandates? I'm not totally averse to it when it comes to, for example, healthcare settings where you're dealing with the vulnerable and people with pre-existing conditions literally all the time. But when it comes to like your local mail worker, it seems kind of wild to me that you're going to have vaccine mandates put down.
Yeah, I agree. I think that distinction is right. If not taking care of vulnerable people is part of your job, then I can understand a vaccine requirement for that job. I mean, you don't have to take that job if you don't want to that vaccine. But for regular people in the community, well, who's at risk? I mean, if you're unvaccinated at this point, you're not risking the lives of the vaccinated because the vaccine works against severe disease once again. So you're not harming any external harm that they may have on others is easily mitigated by taking the vaccine. And for people, for kids who can't take the vaccine because it's not tested in them or the vaccine isn't safe for them, for kids, COVID isn't all that harmful in kids either. The mortality rate from COVID is vanishingly low in children, thank God, as is the severe outcomes risk. So the unvaccinated are not posing a risk to anybody, unless, of course, they're taking care of patients with severe disease, in a vulnerable situation. So I think, the rationale for the vaccine mandate is the positive rationale isn't there. And there's a negative problem with it, too, which is that in this context where the messaging has been so horrendous, and many people distrust the kinds of coercive nature of the interventions we've seen. These kind of mandates actually undermine trust in public health, trust that we need for other really important disease control. Other vaccines matter, like child vaccines, like MMR, DPT. They really do matter. And if you undermine trust in public health in those vaccines, which I think could be very easily a spillover effect in that direction, we will end up hurting people with these vaccines mandates as opposed to helping.
That's Dr. Jay Bhattacharya, professor of medicine at Stanford University. Really appreciate your time, and thanks so much for the insight.
Thank you.
All righty, coming up, apparently, Sydney, Australia, they are now talking about readying the army to enforce lockdown in Australia. I'll get to that in just one second. First, let us talk about the fact that now is an excellent time to refi your mortgage. According to a recent survey, almost 20% of refinancing homeowners saved over $500 a month. That's a lot of money for a lot of people. If you're not one of them, you need to ask yourself why. Because now really is the time to get moving on a mortgage refi before the rates rise. I'm telling you, there's still options under 3%. They're not going to be around forever. That makes now the time to call American Financing, America's home for home loans. Take advantage of a free no-obligation mortgage review. See if you can save up to $1,000 a month without resetting your term. That's right. You can choose any term, 10 years and over, because you shouldn't waste money on years you don't need. Pre-qualify for free by calling 866-721-3300. That's 866-721-3300. Or visit AmericanFinancing.net, NMLS 182334. That's NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Go check them out right now. Now's an excellent time to refi that mortgage. At least go check it out. AmericanFinancing.net, 866-721-3300. That's 866-721-3300. All righty, coming up, Australia. The Sydney military is now being called out to enforce lockdown in a city of 5 million people. So how many people are actually dying in Sydney? Is that in a second. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Hey, KCNR listeners, it's Nathan with the Reading Civic Auditorium. Have you been to readingcivic.com lately? I want to shout out huge thanks to all of our patrons throughout the North State who buy tickets to our shows and attend the valuable community events that happen in the auditorium every year. These past 10 years of momentum have been absolutely incredible. Thanks to all of you. Your support and confidence in Advanced Reading has made the impossible possible. As a community who knows how to pull together and show ourselves strong, we have successfully attracted high-quality entertainers and major concert promoters back into the building and put your Reading Civic Auditorium on the map once again. Arts and entertainment culture is thriving, and we have much to celebrate. Never miss a show again. Visit ReadingCivic.com and sign up for our emails for exclusive presale access. We have an unbelievable lineup with new shows being added all the time. Hit ReadingCivic.com today. You'll be glad you did. Shows are always more fun at the Civic.
Freshen up your home with spring decor from Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage in the Shasta Gateway Shopping Center in Anderson, featuring antique lamps and lighting, desks and dressers, linens and love seats, and more. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage at 1773 Highway 273 in the Shasta Gateway Shopping Center in Anderson. Open Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday from 10 to 6. Sunday, noon to 5. Closed on Tuesdays. Call 530-365-1399. That's 530-365-1399.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
If you trust the government, if you believe the misinformation they're telling you is fact, you won't like our show, Poke the Hornet's Nest.
Hi, I'm your host, Doug Janke, and along with co-host Nick Gardner, we'll expose the dark side of governmental deception and misinformation from our local level, statewide, and to the national and world views.
On second thought, maybe the government believers should listen to the view of two middle-class, well-informed, working Americans.
Be sure to tune in to Poke the Hornet's Nest every other Sunday right here on KCNR1460.com, 96.5 FM, and 1460 AM, 8 to 9 every other Sunday morning.
And remember, you don't have to believe the artificial intelligence these people with college degrees are telling you, because sometimes they're misleading you. Listen to the other side of the news.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, Sydney, Australia. How bad is COVID in Sydney, Australia? Well, their 7-day rolling average of death in Sydney, Australia for COVID is 1. It's 1. Naturally, this means they're sending in the military to enforce lockdown. According to Reuters, Sydney's poorest neighborhoods on Friday braced for military enforcement of the city's toughest and longest lockdown of the COVID-19 pandemic, as the infection numbers held persistently high 5 weeks since restrictions began. With the city of 5 million people ordered to stay home amid an outbreak of the highly transmissible Delta variant, authorities outlined even tighter restrictions for the worst affected suburbs, including mandatory testing and mask wearing outdoors. From Monday, some 300 Australian Army personnel will help police door knock people who have tested positive to the virus to ensure they are isolating. New South Wales Police Commissioner McFuller said, "The sheer volume of increase over the last week means the level of compliance enforcement has gone from hundreds into thousands," he said. The amped up military and police presence would cover the breadth of Australia's largest city, but mainly 8 local government districts in the city's west, home to 2 million people where most new cases have been reported. Now here, of course, is the problem. As we are learning, there are people who are testing positive for COVID who are already vaccinated. Those people are not going to die from COVID because, again, the number of people who have died from COVID after being vaccinated in the United States is like 1,100 out of something like 161 million. But calling out the cops in Sydney, according to Reuters, as the city entered its sixth week of a planned nine-week lockdown. New South Wales reported 170 new local cases, most in the state capital of Sydney, down from a record 239 a day earlier. Of the new cases, at least 42 spent time in the community. While new cases fell, State Premier Gladys Berejiklian said the high number of infectious people in the community meant, quote, we are expecting to see those numbers bounce around. And the state health minister said, quote, we are seeing more families coming in with family member who's presenting not alive but dead. Because people, not that the person's dead, the virus is dead. Because they're waiting too long to get tested. All of this is madness. It's just madness. And here's the thing. If they'll lock down for a virus that now is killing an extraordinarily low number of people compared to what it was killing even 6 months ago, if they're willing to lock down for that, what won't people lock down for? Seriously, in the future, you can imagine a future where the left just declares that for 2 months out of the year, you have to stay in your home to fight global warming. This is not a far-fetched proposal at this point. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. Title 42 stays.
A federal judge in Louisiana has ordered pandemic-related restrictions on migrants seeking asylum on the southern border must remain in place while litigation proceeds. The Biden administration planned to lift the federal Title 42 authority next Monday. Arizona, Louisiana, and 22 other states challenged the administration's plan to end the restrictions. Under Title 42 authority, migrants have been expelled more than 1.9 million times since March 2020. The provision has denied migrants a chance to request asylum under U.S. law and international treaty on grounds of preventing the spread of COVID-19. I'm Mike Gracia.
According to British military experts, with Mariupol largely under Russia's control, Moscow now likely to redeploy its troops.
The defense ministry says now with the number of defenders left holed up in the Mariupol steel factory dwindling, Russian commanders will be coming under increasing pressure to reallocate troops to bolster their offensive in eastern Ukraine. Moscow says more than 1,700 defenders at the steel plant have surrendered since Monday, the likely final stage in the nearly 3 month siege of the now pulverized port city. In Mariupol, an unknown number of defenders remain in the plant, which is the last bastion of Ukrainian resistance in the city. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
With gas now over $4 a gallon in every state, Wisconsin Republican Congressman Mike Gallagher tells the Salem Radio Network there are several steps the president could take to lower the price of the pump, including ending the federal freeze on new oil and gas leases and expediting development of energy pipelines.
Oh, and by the way, kicking all the radicals that are out of FERC, that are in FERC right now, putting a wet blanket on our ability to build energy infrastructure.
FERC refers to the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. More news at townhall.com.
Relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
This is jaw-dropping.
2,000 Mules, the shocking new movie from Dinesh D'Souza. Cell phone geo-tracking tells the truth behind the 2020 election conspiracy.
Philadelphia alone, we've identified more than 1,100 mules. This is organized crime.
They have ruined Election Day in the United States of America. That's provable.
See the proof for yourself. 2,000 Mules. Watch it or buy it today at SalemNow.com. That's SalemNow.com. Sponsored by Salem Media Group.
The composer of the film music for Chariots of Fire has died.
The Greek electronic composer who wrote the unforgettable Academy Award-winning score for Chariots of Fire and music for dozens of other movies, documentaries, and TV series has died. The composer, known as Vangelis, was 79. Vangelis started playing the piano at age 4, although he claimed he never learned to read notes. His big breakthrough came with the score for Chariots of Fire, a 1981 film that told the story of two British runners in the 1924 Olympics. Vangelis' score received one of the four Academy Awards the film won, including Best Picture. Keith Peters reporting.
The actor who played the Red Power Ranger in the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers films and television series has been charged with wire fraud conspiracy relating to the COVID Paycheck Protection Program. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. A Florida appeals court has reinstated a congressional map put forth by Florida Republican Governor Ron DeSantis.
The new congressional map drawn by Governor Ron DeSantis' staff could diminish Florida's black representation in Washington. A lower court judge ordered it replaced just a week ago. While the appeals court did not address the constitutionality of the map, it did cite what it called the need for certainty and continuity as election season approaches. The DeSantis map would likely boost the number of Florida seats held by Republicans, while also making it difficult for Democratic U.S. Representative Al Lawson to maintain his seat in a North Florida district where nearly half the voters are black. Another district that currently favors black candidates is also redrawn. The latest ruling is expected to be appealed to the Florida Supreme Court. I'm Norman Hall.
And you can always check out more on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. In response to COVID-19, NFI has scheduled online Zoom classroom sessions for CCW and CCW renewal. These online courses will be followed up with live fire range training, which will complete your certification. Follow-on range training is done with the same great instructors you've come to know and love. Give us a call today at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Hi, this is Matt. I'm your host of Liberty Unabashed, a new show on Sundays, 8 to 9. We're going to have some good music, some deep thought, and I hope you check us out.
Hey, hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Today's show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. Do you like your web history being seen and sold to advertisers? No? No one does. Get ExpressVPN right now at expressvpn.com/Ben Shapiro. Alrighty, so the economy is in serious, serious trouble. According to the Wall Street Journal, U.S. stocks and bond yields fell, with the S&P 500 flirting with a bear market and a continuing sell-off driven by investor fears that the economy could be pitched into a recession. The major indices dipped early in Thursday's session, a day after tumbling 4% before recovering ground. They ultimately finished lower, with all three on track for weekly losses of at least 2.9%. Concerns about consumer spending, which helped lift the market out of the pandemic lows, have weighed on stocks and bond yields as well. Bond yields tend to go down when people actually invest in bonds. People are rushing to bonds at this point as sort of a safe haven for investment, given the fact that there really is no great place to put your cash at this point. The NASDAQ Composite Index entered bear market territory early this year. It retreated 29.66 points, or 0.3%. Investors are buying government bonds perceived as a haven asset. The yield on the 10-year Treasury notes fell to 2.854% from 2.884% on Wednesday, losing ground for seven of the past nine trading days. As I say, bond yields and prices tend to move in opposite directions. In economic news, the Labor Department says new applications for unemployment benefits rose for the third week in a row. Initial jobless claims, a proxy for layoffs, remain historically low. Separately, U.S. home prices reached a high in April, according to fresh data, but the number of sales is falling. So it looks as though we're about to experience a real problem in the real estate markets as well, which isn't a great shock. Again, the prices are so high in every other area of American life that you just don't have enough money left over to pay for the inflated real estate prices that we are seeing right now. Meanwhile, apparently, we are now on the verge of another subprime mortgage crisis. According to the Wall Street Journal, consumers with low credit scores are falling behind on payments for car loans, personal loans, and credit cards, a sign that the healthiest consumer lending environment on record in the U.S. is coming to an end. Who could have predicted that when you make credit extraordinarily loose, that when you give a bunch of people who can't pay back their mortgages in the hopes that the market will continue to boost prices beyond what the mortgage is actually worth, and therefore the mortgages won't flip upside down? Who could have predicted that this sort of thing would have happened? I mean, it's not like this just happened in 2007 and 2008, well within living memory of all human adults. We're going to do the same thing again. The share of subprime credit cards and personal loans that are at least 60 days late is rising faster than normal. According to credit reporting from Equifax, in March, those delinquencies rose month over month for the eighth time in a row, nearing their pre-pandemic levels. Rising delinquencies were inevitable following their decline during the pandemic, many lenders and analysts said. Even so, the increase is getting attention from investors partly because the Federal Reserve is about to jack up the interest rates, which means you're going to see a lot more people defaulting on their mortgages, and that means that the prices of real estate are going to go down, which is going to flip even more people upside down on the mortgages that they have. So you could be watching the bursting of a real estate bubble here as well. Delinquencies on subprime car loans and leases hit an all-time high in February based on Equifax's tracking that goes all the way back to 2007. Many people, including those with less than perfect credit, paid off debts, built up savings during the pandemic. The government's response, including stimulus payments and child tax credits, boosted financial health. But now, many of those benefits have run out. Subprime borrowers, who sometimes have lower incomes or less savings, are being hit hard. Inflation is also forcing many households to choose between paying for essentials and paying those monthly loans. Wells Fargo Chief Executive Charlie Scharf said Tuesday, higher prices for food and gas will constrain U.S. households. He said, we're still in the best credit environment we've ever seen in our lives. There will be deterioration in people's ability to pay. So we could be looking at the beginning of a serious problem in the mortgage market as well. How bad are things getting? Well, people are now finally unretiring. Well, one of the stupidities of the American job market is that we assume that people are going to retire and should retire at the age of 65. Okay, when we made the national retirement age 65, when Social Security benefits kicked in at the age of 65, the average life expectancy in the United States was 63, which meant that you were really old. 65 was old at the time. Well, now 65 is actually really, really young. You can expect, if you're born today, you can expect that you will live to at least 80 years of age. And that means 15 years in which you ain't getting paid to do a job. And for the vast majority of people, I mean, right now the president of the United States is 80 years old. I mean, by this logic, he should have retired 25 full years ago if you're talking about 55 years old. Yeah, the reality is that 65 is the new 55 and 55 is the new 45, which makes sense since we treat adults like children in this country. But instead, we have basically said to 65-year-olds, no, you have to be forced out of the job market. Well, now, because it turns out that inflation eats away at fixed incomes, things like Social Security, what that means is that people are going back into the job market after all, which maybe is a good thing, but it's not a good thing for the people who have to do it. According to the New York Times, when Kim Williams and millions of other older Americans lost their jobs early in the COVID pandemic, economists wondered how many would ever work again. Ms. Williams, now 62, wondered too, especially when she struggled for months to find work. But in January, she started a new job at a AAA near her home in Waterbury, Connecticut. I'm too young to retire, so I had to go back, she said. Whether by choice or financial necessity, millions of older Americans have made the same move in recent months. Nearly 64% of adults between the age of 55 and 64 were working in April, essentially the same rate as in February 2020. That's a more complete recovery than among most younger age groups. So the older people, being smarter than the younger people, are like, maybe I should go back to work. Meanwhile, you have people in other age brackets really lagging in terms of where they were as far as labor force participation rate. So, for example, if you take the group 20 to 24, that group is still lagging about 5% below where it was before the pandemic in terms of labor force participation. A bunch of people are basically just sitting out the economy right now thinking everybody's going to continue paying their bills. Those are the people who are going to come up short when it comes time to pay for their mortgage or when it comes time to pay for that car. Those are the people who are going to be defaulting. The rapid rebound has surprised many economists who thought fear of the virus would contribute to a wave of early retirements, but there's increasing evidence that early retirement narratives were overblown. The bottom line is that older workers have gone back to work, said Alicia Minnell, director of the Center for Retirement Research at Boston College. So maybe that's good in terms of bringing down the wages, because if you have a broader supply of labor, this does bring down the wages. But again, for a lot of people who are on fixed income, inflation is eating away at everything, and they are suffering, and they are feeling it. Which is, of course, why there's a new CNN poll showing that 86% of people are at least somewhat scared of how things are going in the United States. Here was CNN reporting that yesterday.
65% of Americans in our brand new CNN poll tonight say they are concerned about how things are going in the U.S. Only 4% excited, 10% optimistic. Even 1 in 5 say that they are scared.
Okay, so those are really, really bad numbers. I mean, those are terrible numbers. You're talking about excited or optimistic 14% of Americans. And going into a midterm election cycle for Democrats, that's really, really bad. It's particularly bad because we are now no longer just in an inflationary cycle. So the Biden administration, they kept saying, you know what, inflation is really, you're looking at the wrong side of the coin. Inflation, the other side of that coin is heavy consumer demand. And heavy consumer demand means people are doing great. Because after all, they're out there buying things. And if you're buying things, you're buying things because you have the money to buy things. And this means things are going swimmingly. Well, if you have a hot economy and inflation working in tandem, then it's not great, but it's not the end of the world. When you have stagflation, now you start to look at the end of the world. When you have economic stagnation and inflation, the prices are prices people cannot pay, and also nobody's buying anything. That's like the worst of all possible worlds. This is what happened during the Carter administration and the first couple of years of the Reagan administration before Paul Volcker jacked up the interest rates to like 20%. So Mohammed El-Erian, who is the head of Allianz and who is an excellent economic commentator. Yeah, we've had him on the program before. He really knows his stuff. He's written very critically of how basically every major government in the world has delegated all financial responsibility to their central banks. They basically told their central banks, you're in charge of unemployment and you're in charge of the inflation rate. And they've given them too much to do. They've used them as the solution of first resort as opposed to the solution of last resort. And that means when things get ugly, there's not all that much that central banks can do. And central banks aren't always right. They mess up a lot. Mohammed El-Erian, he said yesterday, well, you know, stagflation, it's unavoidable. He used the word unavoidable. It's now coming. We have inflation, and now we're going to get economic stagnation. That is like the worst possible scenario for America. It's the worst possible scenario for the party in charge of the country right now.
What is unavoidable is stagflation. And we're seeing growth coming down, and we're seeing inflation remaining high. Yeah. And the Fed is finally catching up to developments on the ground, but it still has some way to go.
Hey, Mohammed El-Erian, very, very critical of the Fed's response in all of this, basically saying they overshot the mark and they've been slow off the ball every single time. Remember, Jerome Powell originally said inflation was going to be transitory. Then he was like, well, no, maybe it's not so transitory. Then it was, there will definitely not be a recession. Then it was, well, it's going to be kind of hard to avoid a recession. Maybe he's just really bad at his job. According to many, many investment fund managers, like 77% of them, they see an economic storm of slowing growth and high inflation taking hold over the course of the next year, according to Yahoo Finance and Fortune magazine. Top economists and money managers worldwide are warning that rising consumer prices and falling economic growth are combining to form a deadly recipe for the global economy, stagflation. Some 77% of investment fund managers say they see below-trend growth and above-trend inflation. That would be stagflation as the most likely outcome for the global economy over the next year, according to a May survey from the Bank of America Global Research. That is the highest percentage seen since August of 2008, when the economy was pretty terrible. Still, despite these gloomy predictions about stagflation, most of the fund managers say that they believe we are past the worst spike in inflation, but being past the worst spike in inflation doesn't mean that inflation is going to be in good shape anytime soon. Last month, the inflation was 8.3%. The month before that, it was 8.5% on an annualized basis. That just means that it's going up slower than it was. It doesn't mean that everything is going back to something resembling normal. And for all the investors out there, the question is, where do you put your money? I mean, really, where do you put your money? Bitcoin has taken it on the chin. The dollar seems to be maybe the best bet at this point, simply because they're raising the interest rates. So people are buying into bonds and securities. They're moving out of the stock market. There's talk of a possible 10-year slowdown in stock market growth. All of this is horrible news. And it's bad news generated by bipartisan spending policies and an idiotic assessment by the Biden administration that the way that you get out of an inflationary spiral is apparently to punish businesses. That the best way that you can actually get out of an inflationary spiral is to deliberately seek stagnation. This is crazy. If you're going to get out of an inflationary spiral, what you have to do is jack up the interest rates, but free businesses at the same time. Because that leads them to believe that their economic fundamentals are still sound. That if they do things right, if they run a tight ship, they will still not only survive, but thrive. And get to keep the benefits of their own labors. But if you have an inflationary cycle combined with a bunch of bad regulation and high taxation, who in their right mind is going to invest into that market? Who? And yet this is exactly what the Biden administration is openly pursuing at this point. So, for example, you have the National Economic Council director for the Biden administration openly saying that they want to raise taxes to cut inflation. So your solution is that you're going to disincentivize businesses from investing? This is your plan? That's actively seeking stagflation. Because here's the thing. Raising taxes is not going to markedly bring down inflation. The inflation rates are going to be markedly brought down by the increase in interest rates from the Federal Reserve. At the margins, you might see a minor decrease in inflation thanks to raising the taxation on corporations simply because they won't be able to afford to pay their workers, and so the wages are going to go down a little bit. So it'll have a little bit of a marginal effect on the wage price spiral, right? Because if wages go down, prices will have to go down in order to meet the dropping wages. How is that? So your plan to get out of this is to make the American worker feel the pain of losing their job via you going after their boss? I guess I sort of understand the logic for the Democrats, because if you're the Democrats, I guess the idea is somebody's going to have to be the bad guy here. Let's make it your employer. It can either be us or it can be your employer. Now, a normal sort of honest economic take here would be, it's us, right? We're going to have to raise the inflation rate. We blew it. Inflation rate going up. We're going to get this sucker ironed out, and then it'll all be good. And they still have time to do this. They do. Remember that in 1981, when Paul Volcker began raising the interest rates, by 1982, Ronald Reagan had a pretty bad off-year election. By 1984, the guy was winning 49 states. So it is definitely possible to say to the American public, we're about to go through a rough time. There's something we have to do to get things back looking good again. We have plenty of room to ramp up the interest rates without completely sinking the economy. But you're going to have to bear with us, and there will be some pain. Now, you could do that, but they can't do that because Joe Biden and the Democrats have a pathological aversion to taking blame for anything they themselves do. So instead, what they plan to do is raise taxes, punish corporations, force the corporations to fire people, and that will somehow, in a backdoor fashion, bring down wages, which will eventually bring down prices. That's pretty gross. It really is. So here is the head of the National Economic Council, Brian Deese, talking about how the raising taxes is going to somehow solve this problem.
If we can continue that deficit reduction, then we will continue from a fiscal policy perspective to reduce price pressures in the economy. And one of the most sensible ways to reduce the deficit right now is to enact corporate tax reform that would level the playing field, that would reduce the incentives for corporations to drive profits and production overseas, and would increase revenue to the federal government.
So they keep going over and over to this idea. First of all, even the outcome of his own policies don't make sense. He's talking about how basically corporations are just being greedy and that's what's driving inflation. That's not true. That is not true. Did corporations suddenly become radically greedy? According to Democrats, they've been greedy the whole time. So what magically changed that made them greedy all of a sudden? Also, when he says at the very end of that clip that this is going to drive more revenues to the government, revenues to the federal government are at an all-time high right now. That is not the problem. We are taking in more money at the federal government level than any time in American history right now. Bar none, not close. That is not the problem. The problem is whatever we take in terms of the federal government, we then blow out twice as much. That's the problem. The spending side is the problem. But they refuse to see that because, of course, it cuts directly against all of their economic preferences. We'll get to more of this in just a moment. But first, a word from our partners at Noble Gold.
Now, the stock market's at a record high again. Things are looking up. Houses are selling in a week. Interest rates are still crazy low. And to top it all off, the government printed $5 trillion in new money. You might have noticed that all of this doesn't add up. It's like those plates spinning on top of those sticks. When they stop, it all comes crashing down, right? You need to keep your cash safe, not crashing down. Using precious metals is a well-proven way to do this. In a gold or silver IRA 401k rollover, you even get tax breaks while you bomb-proof your money. To find out how you can do this, you need to talk to one of Noble Gold's representatives. They're patient and knowledgeable and can help you navigate the precious metals market. This month, Noble Gold is giving away a free America the Beautiful solid silver 5-ounce coin with any qualifying IRA that you start. Call 877-646-5347 now to find out more or visit our website at noblegoldinvestments.com.
Investing involves risk. Past performance is no guarantee of future results.
Alrighty, coming up, who else are the Democrats going to blame besides corporations? Well, of course, there's Putin. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
We're here with Mortgage Matt from Megastar Financial here in Reading. Matt, what if someone has just recently purchased a home or recently financed, like a year ago?
You know, this last year has been insane. A lot of people with the work from home phenomena, there's a lot of people moving here from metropolitan areas, which has, you know, affected the supply and demand of this market. That has really boosted the value of houses. So right now, people are looking to remodel their home or consolidate debt. They're able to do that at a lower cost with a cash out refinance than they ever have in history.
Talk about the value of using a local mortgage company and why Megastar Financial.
The nice thing about us being local is our accessibility. You mean people can meet with us in a safe way, but whatever people are comfortable with. We can do an application process online on our website, or we can do an application together over the phone.
Megastar Financial, America's most trusted mortgage company, located at 920 Hilltop Drive next door to Chuck E. Cheese. Call 999-9000 or get started online at megastarreading.com. NMLS 1162668.
Are you new to crypto? It can leave you feeling unsure of what to do. Help is available. From getting started to securing your cryptos, you don't need to go it alone. Bitcoin 530 will take you by the hand to help you move forward with your crypto journey. Schedule a free consultation with Bitcoin 530 at bitcoin530.io. or give them a call at 530-324-5175. That's Bitcoin530.io.
Hi, this is Matt with Liberty Unabashed. It's time to embrace American values. Our society is based on the freedom, not begging the government for permission. It's time to wake up, my brothers and sisters. Come check out my show every other Sunday, 8 to 9, Liberty Unabashed.
The YMCA is welcoming new members to come and enjoy the many choices the YMCA has to offer. The YMCA has a variety of fitness activities, including swimming, aqua aerobics, cardio, weights, group power classes, and booty yoga. There's over 100 classes to choose from. The YMCA is so much more than a gym. The Y is a community. Join the YMCA. 246-YMCA or go online to smymca.org.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m. join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So Democrats are looking for somebody to blame for the fact that their economic record here is just abysmal. That means it's time to blame Putin again.
I think the price increases that we've seen in energy markets, we know why that is happening. And it's because Putin invaded Ukraine. The war has taken Russian supply of product, but also Russian refinery capacity off of the market. And that has put upward pressure on price.
Okay. So again, this is the way that they're going to get out of this, just blaming other people. It isn't going to work. If Americans are disquieted about the economy and your plans are let us raise taxes and yell at corporations and talk about Vladimir Putin, that is not going to do it. It's also not going to do it when you have no solutions to any of the problems that your own FDA created. When all of your regulatory agencies that work for you are so bad at their job that you end up with a serious baby formula shortage. And then you've got the White House legit telling people that the solution to this problem is to call your doctor to get free samples of baby formula. When all of this could have been handled. Right? If you're going to use the FDA to shut down domestic production of this sort of stuff, at the very least, you need to relieve a lot of the regulations on bringing in foreign supply of baby formula. But they didn't do that. So instead, the White House has now put out a tweet. It says, guidance to follow if you're having trouble finding infant formula. Don't water down formula or try to make formula at home. Instead, call your OBGYN or pediatrician to see if they have in-office samples. So, great. That is what we have now been relegated to. I wonder why people are feeling really, really uncomfortable with the way this administration is addressing economic problems. The good news is that we have deployed the President of the United States, Jill Biden, to Central and South America to talk about the United States economy. I call her the President of the United States because Joe Biden clearly is not. We may have an Edith Wilson situation on our hands where basically Woodrow became a meat puppet and Edith was standing behind him moving his face and weird sounds would come out and Edith would just basically define the policy. We may be almost there with Jill Biden and Joe Biden at this point. So Jill Biden was talking about how the real problem in America is income inequality and inequity. And she was saying this is what matters to people in Ecuador.
What does inequality in the United States matter to young people right here in Quito? But they do matter. Injustice and corruption, poverty and pollution, disease and despair, they aren't contained by any borders. If we learned anything from the COVID-19 pandemic, from these last few years of sickness and sorrow, it's how one deadly virus can move through the world.
What? Just like what? And also what? If we learned something from COVID, what we actually learned is that all of our elites are morons telling you that they can control your life top down and wreck everything. We were told that they were all the experts and they were going to fix everything. And it turns out that they blew up the economy. It turns out that a million Americans still died. It turned out that they masked up your kids for no apparent reason and kept them out of school for no apparent reason and destroyed your business for no apparent reason. So, yeah, I think that's mostly what we learned. But according to the Biden administration, no, what we actually learned is how good they are at these things and that they should have more control. Speaking of which, by the way, the CDC is now advising boosters for kids who are aged 5 to 11. This is so tiresome. It's so tiresome. And the number of kids who have died from COVID is statistically negligible. Every one of those is a tragedy. Many, many more children have died from virtually every other measurable cause than have died from COVID. Doesn't matter. The CDC is now saying that your kid, aged 5 to 11, should get a booster. What exactly? That would be the third dose available for most children. What? Okay, kids have not been dying of this pandemic the entire time. The entire time. Kids have been getting it. Kids have been getting COVID the whole time, and pretty much none of them have been dying by the CDC's own stats. The CDC's own stats, like the grand total number of kids who have died, according to the CDC's own stats in that age bracket, it's well under 100. In a country with like tens of millions of people in this general age bracket. So what in the, again, the experts know, so we should listen always and forever to the experts. Alrighty, coming up. The Democrats are trotting out their favorite experts again on COVID. You know, all the people who failed the first time. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bach. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday nights, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
Veterans, did you know that Shasta County Veterans Service Office is open to all veterans who have served our nation? Whether a combat veteran or a member of the reserves with limited active duty time, you have earned benefits. If you have any military benefit or veteran-related questions, call 530-225-5616 or stop by Shasta County Veterans Service Office at 1855 Shasta Street, Redding, California. This message is brought to you by Korean War veteran Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary, California Veterans Affairs.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
If you trust the government, if you believe the misinformation they're telling you is fact, you won't like our show, Poke the Hornet's Nest.
Hi, I'm your host, Doug Janke, and along with co-host Nick Gardner, we'll expose the dark side of governmental deception and misinformation from our local level, statewide, and to the national and world views.
On second thought, maybe the government believers should listen to the view of two middle-class, well-informed, working Americans.
Be sure to tune in to Poke the Hornet's Nest every other Sunday right here on KCNR1460.com, 96.5 FM, and 1460 AM, 8 to 9 every other Sunday morning.
And remember, you don't have to believe the artificial intelligence these people with college degrees are telling you, because sometimes they're misleading you. Listen to the other side of the news.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to kcnr1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance is now open at 3673 Eureka Way. Physical therapists Kevin Elo and Rachel Lang have a combined 29 years of experience in helping those who've suffered orthopedic injuries, strains, and sprains. Kevin has worked with the USA Gymnastics team, NFL Combine, and professional BMX riders. He's also helped members of Cirque du Soleil get back into action. Rachel works closely with seniors and is also a group fitness instructor and adept at returning people to an active lifestyle. Both Kevin and Rachel at Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance are accepting new clients. Give them a call today, 530-533-5030. If you are in need of physical therapy, talk to the experts at Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance at 3673 Eureka Way. Call 530-533-5030. That's 530-533-5030 today.
Today.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, remember Rochelle Walensky? She's bad at everything? Well, she's back. Rochelle Walensky, who's failed on every score, she says that as we see an uptick in the number of COVID cases across the country, maybe it's time to put back on the mask. Oh, happiness.
In areas where community levels are high, everyone should be using prevention measures and wearing a mask in public indoor settings. In areas with medium COVID-19 community levels in yellow, individuals should consider taking prevention measures based on their own risk, like avoiding crowds, wearing a mask, increasing their testing, especially before gathering with others indoors. And in any COVID-19 community levels, individuals may always choose to wear a mask to protect themselves from infection.
They will, the experts. This is why you should listen to the experts, because they're so experts when they're doing their experting. Speaking of experts, we still have the Surgeon General, Vivek Murthy, saying the same thing. Why not wear masks? I mean, despite the fact that there's, like, no data on masks being preventative of Omicron. Like, despite that, like, why not do it? I mean, just for the funsies of it. It was so much fun. It was so good. I mean, like, it obviously prevented Omicron from hitting everyone, including the already bad. Oh, it didn't. Oh, none of that worked at all. But we should do it anyway, because after all, it's like, it's like a facial symbol that you listen to the regime. So why not? Here's the Surgeon General.
Masks still remain an important tool that we can use to reduce spread. And reducing spread is still important because we don't want people to get infected, even if they don't end up in the hospital or die. That's the most important thing, obviously, is to save your life, keep you out of the hospital. But we know people can get long COVID. We know that they can spread it to people who are vulnerable. So the masks are helpful. If you are in a region of the country that is in the yellow or orange, I would strongly recommend you consider wearing a mask, especially if you're at high risk or around people who are.
Why are people in such a bad mood about this administration? I don't understand. Why are people in such a bad mood generally? Well, the good news is they still have Joe Biden. And as we know, Joe Biden is as honest as the day is long, widely beloved, genial old man who just reminds you of your uncle who would creepily rub your shoulders while nuzzling your ear. He's the best, right? I mean, he's personally popular. At least he's mostly popular just because of how honest he is. Well, I mean, it now turns out that, remember that time that he said that his son Hunter didn't take a bunch of money from the Chinese, like in open debate? In 2020, he said that, like to the entire American public. This is October 2020.
My son has not made money in terms of this thing about, what are you talking about, China. I have not had, the only guy made money from China is this guy. He's the only one. Nobody else has made money from China.
Yeah, not true. That was a lie, because he's a liar, so that's too bad. And according to the New York Post today, Hunter Biden and a company he ran raked in around $11 million from his controversial business dealings while his dad served as VP and shortly thereafter, according to new scrutiny of the first son. An NBC News report found that President Biden's scandal-scarred son burned through cash at a rate of more than $200,000 a month from October 2017 through February 2018, spending it on luxury hotel rooms, payments on a Porsche, and dental work, as well as making unexplained bank withdrawals. That's a lot of dental work. You know, you get a grill? Like, what exactly was that about? The eye-popping figures emerged from an analysis of information stored on the First Son's laptop, which, of course, the entire media pretended was Russian propaganda, and documents released by Senate Republicans. His river of income flowed from 2013 through 2018 as a result of ties to a Ukrainian natural gas company suspected of bribery and a since-vanished Chinese tycoon accused of bribery and fraud as well. Former White House chief ethics lawyer Richard Painter told the Post, "This is an enormous amount of money for Hunter Biden, whom I don't believe is an experienced corporate transactional attorney." Yeah, you think? So you still have the Hunter Biden stuff that is sort of hovering around Joe. So you can see why Joe Biden and the Democrats are in real trouble. And so, once again, as always, they're swiveling. I keep saying this because it's true. They're swiveling to abortion. They do not seem to understand how out of touch they are on the issue of abortion. It really is amazing to listen to them talk about abortion as though this is what is going to save them. So Nancy Pelosi is now trying to recast abortion as a kitchen table issue, which is weird imagery because really you shouldn't perform abortions on kitchen tables just generally. It's not sanitary. But here is Nancy Pelosi explaining that abortion is a kitchen table issue, which is a way of saying let's not talk about the economy. Let's not talk about COVID. Let's not talk about all of our failures. Instead, let's talk about why you should be able to kill babies. This is a kitchen table issue.
They want to know what we're doing about their kitchen table issues. Food, education, prescription drugs. You want to talk about prescription drugs? We're only 12 of them bought it with us to make insulin cheaper. So our democracy on the ballot, freedom that springs from our democracy on the ballot. A woman's right to choose is on the ballot, and that is a kitchen table issue.
Abortion's a kitchen table issue. Like, if you could have an empty kitchen table with no kids there. Gotta admire the hand motions of Nancy Pelosi here. They're getting more and more bizarre and obscure. She started off with, like, a full-on Vulcan mind meld here, right? She started off with this one, like, up here. And then she went to this one, which I don't even know that is, like that. She went for the loser sign. And then, finally, she went to the one finger. So she went all the way from Spock to L to one finger. There's solid stuff there from Nancy Pelosi explaining abortion is a kitchen table issue. Meanwhile, they've trotted out their greatest spokesperson, Kamala Harris, the most brilliant orator of our time. She's like Demosthenes or Cicero. I mean, when the history of this age is written, people will wonder, they will just stare agape at the video evidence that we ever experienced in order quite along the lines of the utterly sincere, totally articulate, unbelievably glib Kamala Harris. She's just incredible at this. So she decided that it was time to visit some abortion providers because these are the nicest people in the world. It's amazing. All Democrats had to do when they came into office in January 2021 was not be totally bat crazy. And they couldn't do it. It was just not possible for them. So instead, they decided to just be as crazy as they wanted to be. So here is Kamala Harris. She was, again, she's hanging out with abortion providers, which is a political winner. I know that. You know, when I want to be popular with my friends, I head on over to an abortion provider and I just hang out with the people who chop up unborn children all day. It's good times. Kamala Harris, she says, the problem with abortion law as promoted by the right is that if we end Roe, it will stop self-determination. It will end women's self-determination. Here we go.
It would be a direct assault on the fundamental right to self-determination, to live and love without interference from the government. At its core, this is about our future as a nation, about whether we live in a country where the government can interfere in personal decisions.
Okay, the lack of self-awareness here is absolutely astonishing. It's astonishing. I just want to take a moment to go through the idiotic cream of wheat nonsense that you just spewed right there. Quote, it would be a direct assault on the fundamental right to self-determination. You know it's a fundamental right to self-determination? You know what that usually involves? It involves not having your skull caved in and your brain sucked into a sink. Like, generally, if I had to put, like, the fundamental right to self-determination, like, the very, very first step, it's not having your brain sucked into a sink. Like, I know. I'm demanding this way. But if I were thinking, like, fundamental rights to self-determination would be somebody not killing me, right? That I would start from there. Okay, then she says, to live and love without interference from the government. To live? To live? Like, at its core, this is about our future as a nation, about whether we live in a country where the government can interfere in personal decisions. Yes, Kamala Harris is very concerned about the government interfering in personal decisions. The Democrats hate when the government interferes in your life. They hate it. The government is, the Democrats are known for being unbelievably hands-off when it comes to how you operate economically, in terms of your family, in terms of your marriage, in terms of everything. They're really hands-off people. They're basically libertarians, Democrats. The lack of connection, again, the lack of connection to reality here is just amazing stuff. Then Kamala Harris has to do what the Democrats have been doing. So they think, okay, we won't talk about the economy, we'll talk about abortion. Then they start talking about abortion. About halfway through the sentence, they realize that what they're talking about is the sometimes gruesome, always deadly act of killing an unborn baby in the womb. And then they immediately switch to, okay, we can't talk quite about that. So what if we talk about contraception? So let's pretend that for some reason Republicans want to, you know, like ban the sale of condoms or something. Let's just do that. So here's Kamala Harris.
The right to privacy that forms the basis of Roe is the same right to privacy that protects the right to use contraception and the right to marry the person you love, including a person of the same sex. Overturning Roe opens the door to restricting those rights.
Okay, so again, they're now going to try to broaden out. They're going to try to redirect even from abortion. It's not even about abortion now. Now it's about they're coming after same-sex marriage and condoms. Okay, good luck with this argument. Again, they have to keep swiveling from their actual abortion argument because their actual abortion argument is really, really ugly. Also, they're trying to misdirect from the fact that if Roe versus Wade is overturned, everyone knows that if there's violence, it's coming from the left. So CBS Morning News actually attempted, I kid you not, to suggest that if there is violence in the aftermath of a Roe versus Wade striking down by the Supreme Court, that it could come from either side. Sure. Here we go.
The Department of Homeland Security is warning about an increased threat of extremist violence after the leak of a draft Supreme Court opinion striking down the constitutional right to an abortion. The Associated Press obtained a memo to local government agencies. It says that violence could come from either side of the abortion issue or from other types of extremists seeking to exploit tensions.
Either side. Yeah, that's probable. Now, that make perfect sense if all the pro-lifers just started rioting after they got exactly what they want. That's normally what people do. I shouldn't say that because sometimes the L.A. Lakers win the NBA championship, and then there are riots in L.A. But most of the time, when you get what you want, you don't then go and riot about it. Typically, happy riots aren't like the most common type of riots, politically happy riots. I've never seen have you seen a politically happy riot? Have you seen like a bunch of people where they get exactly what they're like, yes, we got our tax cut, let's go burn a car. Like, I've never seen anything remotely like that. So I'm not sure what exactly they're talking about, except they have to try and scare people. Well, either that or they have to start cracking down on the dissemination of material. And so Twitter has some announcements to make, apparently, about how they're going to be policing content in the near future. It's not exactly my cup of tea. We'll get to that in a moment. First, you know what big tech and big government have in common? They want to monitor everything you do, and then they'd like to silence you. Well, let's say you're a proud gun owner. You want to talk on social media about the right to bear arms. Good shot, you are being monitored, and that somebody is going to put you on a governmental watch list of some kind. Well, how about this? How about anonymizing your internet activity? This is why you need ExpressVPN. The problem with big tech, they can track everything you do online, what you're searching for, the videos you watch, everything you click. They can then match your activity to your true identity using your device's unique IP address. When I use ExpressVPN, they can't see my IP address at all. My identity is anonymized by a secure VPN server. Plus, ExpressVPN encrypts 100% of my internet data for protection from hackers and eavesdroppers. ExpressVPN is by far the best VPN I've tried. It's the VPN rated number one by Business Insider, The Verge, countless other tech publications. And it couldn't be easier to use. The app has one button, you tap it, and now you are protected. It is that simple. Defend your rights to privacy, protect yourself at expressvpn.com/Ben Shapiro. That's ExpressVPN.com/Ben Shapiro. Get 3 months for free. That's expressvpn.com/Ben Shapiro to learn more. Alrighty, coming up, Twitter. Now, always making sure to protect Democrats at all costs. Well, now they're adding more content guardrails. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Hey, KCNR listeners, it's Nathan with the Reading Civic Auditorium. Have you been to ReadingCivic.com lately? I want to shout out huge thanks to all of our patrons throughout the North State who buy tickets to our shows and attend the valuable community events that happen in the auditorium every year. These past 10 years of momentum have been absolutely incredible. Thanks to all of you. Your support and confidence in Advanced Reading has made the impossible possible. As a community who knows how to pull together and show ourselves strong, we have successfully attracted high-quality entertainers and major concert promoters back into the building and put your Reading Civic Auditorium on the map once again. Arts and entertainment culture is thriving, and we have much to celebrate. Never miss a show again. Visit ReadingCivic.com and sign up for our emails for exclusive pre-sale access. We have an unbelievable lineup with new shows being added all the time. Hit ReadingCivic.com today. You'll be glad you did. Shows are always more fun at the Civic.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere ag and turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wing Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. Time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Aloha, this is Kevin, operations manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price and after a few months realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So Twitter has now announced they are adding more content guardrails because they can be the arbiters of total truth. According to the Wall Street Journal, this is a potential flashpoint with the company's prospective new owner, Elon Musk, who has said he wants the social media platform to dial back on moderating tweets. The company said on Thursday it plans to slow what it deems misinformation around crises including armed conflicts, natural disasters, and public health emergencies, and to elevate credible information. So when you can't win, rig the game, I guess is the idea. By the way, didn't we already see this? You know, there's never been any problem with Twitter or social media restricting the free flow of information around controversial issues like public health emergencies. I mean, they would never get that wrong. It's not as though they would immediately just begin to censor people who had serious questions to ask about the age striation of COVID or the source of where COVID came from in the first place or lockdown policy. It's not as though they would ever just, you know, censor people or ban them for making basic observations about that sort of stuff. Twitter said it defines a crisis as a situation in which there is widespread threat to life, physical safety, health, or basic subsistence. The company said it would determine whether claims are misleading through verification from multiple credible publicly available sources, including evidence from conflict monitoring groups, humanitarian organizations, journalists, and others. That's going to go great because all of those people are super duper trustworthy. And you can listen to like the journalists of the New York Times. That'd be good, probably. This will always be good. Hopefully, if Elon Musk does end up going through with his purchase of Twitter, then he will put his stop to that. Speaking of which, Elon Musk suggested the other day that when he said he was not going to vote Democrat, there would be a wave of attacks on him. Well, the wave has begun. So according to The Verge suddenly, within like a day of this, has come up with the news that SpaceX reportedly paid $250,000 to cover up Elon Musk's sexual misconduct. According to The Verge, SpaceX reportedly paid a flight attendant $250,000 to ensure she didn't speak out or sue the company after Elon Musk allegedly exposed himself and propositioned her for sex, according to a report from Business Insider. According to one of the flight attendant's friends, the alleged victim worked as a crew member on a SpaceX corporate flight. During one of the flights, the attendant told her friend Musk asked her for a full body massage in his room. Reportedly, this was not unusual, and SpaceX had encouraged the attendant to get a masseuse license. During the massage, Musk allegedly removed the sheet that was covering the lower half of his body, showing her his penis. While rubbing her leg, he reportedly offered to buy the attendant a horse if she would do more. The story notes the attendant rode horses. The allegations were relayed to Insider by one of the flight attendant's friends, who was asked by the attendant's attorney to sign a declaration backing up the claims in 2018. The friend told Insider the attendant refused to carry out any sexual acts on Musk and that she was really upset following the flight. The friend also said SpaceX cut down on the number of shifts she was given following the incident, which the attendant saw as a sign of retaliation. Apparently, the attendant filed a complaint to the SpaceX HR department in 2018, saying her career with the company had suffered because of her refusal. The company took the complaint to a mediator, not a court or an arbitrator, and signed the attendant to a $250,000 severance agreement, barring her from saying anything bad about Musk or his companies, including SpaceX and Tesla. This included talking about the payment itself. Musk apparently said there was a lot more to the story. He said it was a politically motivated hit piece. He had warned that he would be the victim of such tricks. Now, let me just say this. A $250,000 settlement, when you're talking about alleging that one of the richest people on planet Earth propositioned you for sex and then retaliated against you via his company, that is called a nuisance settlement. Okay, that is what that is right there. Just anybody who knows corporate law understands this. Just the legal bills on something like this outstrip $250,000 easily, by far. The bad publicity at a trial outstrips the cost of this, by far. And if she really had the goods, and if she had witnesses, and she had any evidence whatsoever, if any of that had been the case, you think that her lawyers would have told her to settle for $250,000 from Elon Musk? Are you out of your mind? Are you crazy? The friend of the flight attendant said that the attendant told her about the misconduct while they were on a hike together shortly after the London trip. The friend described the attendant as distraught and visibly shaken. She was really upset, the friend said. She didn't know what to do. Again, she could be telling the truth. I'm just saying that the timing of this story is really, really suspicious. Not only is the timing suspicious, the $250,000 severance payment is not enough to pay for credible allegations of this sort. The friend told Insider she decided to come forward without consulting the flight attendant, which that's a great friend right there, because when you blow the settlement, that's always good. Because as a survivor of sexual assault, she felt an obligation to share what she'd been told about Musk. Unlike the flight attendant, her friend is not bound by any non-disclosure agreement. She said, I absolutely felt the responsibility to come forward with it, especially now. He's the richest man in the world. Someone with that level of power causing that kind of harm and then throwing some money at the situation, that's not accountability. There are predators all over the world. But when someone is particularly wealthy and powerful, they literally have systems that are like a machine working for them to set them up to be able to do whatever they want. Remaining silent, said the friend, would make her complicit. You become part of the machine that allows someone like Elon Musk to continue to do the horrible things that he has done. The friend said, her primary concern was clearly her client. She said before she reached out to the Insider, she called the attorney who represented the victim, and the attorney told her that she was free to speak to the press, but sharing any documents could put the flight attendant at risk. She recalled the attorney saying the confidentiality provisions are BS, and that if any other women have been victimized by Musk, they ought to come forward. But the attorney urged the friend not to share the declaration. The attorney did not respond to requests for comment. So, again, I find this highly non-convincing. Let's put it that way. The media are trying to now cobble together an entire case against Elon Musk. They're trying to take him out politically. None of this is a shock. The media do this sort of stuff all the time. They're trying to drag up allegations that there was sexual harassment at a Tesla factory where men at the factory ogled women and remarked on their clothes, according to complaints, leading some women to wear baggy outfits and use stacks of boxes to obstruct the views of leering coworkers. Again, this... I don't even know how do you evidence this? How do you evidence this? But apparently evidence is no longer really necessary in any case. So there is that. Meanwhile, in other bad news for Democrats, the knockdown dragout battle that's happening at the New York congressional level continues. So Hakeem Jeffries is very upset because the new map that's been drawn in New York is creating all sorts of havoc. It's wreaking havoc inside the Democratic contingent. You've got Sean Maloney, the head of the DCCC, who's now going up in the same district as another young, up-and-coming, progressive congressperson and being encouraged to step down. You have a disaster area brewing with regard to some of the other New York maps, including Carolyn Maloney going up against Jerry Nadler. I mean, it's just a mess. So Jeffries has now launched an aggressive effort to discredit a proposed congressional map that would divide historically black neighborhoods in New York, likening its configuration to Jim Crow tactics. Jeffries is spending tens of thousands of dollars on digital advertising as part of a scorched earth campaign to try to stop New York courts from making the new map final without changes later this week. Jeffries said, we find ourselves in an all hands on deck moment. In his most recent ad, he said the changes took a sledgehammer to black districts. It's enough to make Jim Crow blush. Amazing how Jim Crow has really evolved in America. Jim Crow went from, you know, black people not being able to vote and being prohibited from going to the same restaurants as white people and being prohibited from going to the same schools as white people and being prohibited from marrying white people. Went from that to people having to show ID in Georgia and also districts not being drawn to Hakeem Jeffries' specific liking in the state of New York, an extraordinarily blue state. So Jim Crow is really morphing around here. After New York's highest court struck down Democrat-friendly maps drawn by the state legislature as unconstitutional last month, the judges have vested near total power in Jonathan Service, a New York court-appointed special master. Service's initial proposal unwound a map gerrymandered by the Democratic-led state legislature, creating new pickup opportunities for Republicans, but it also significantly altered the shapes of districts in New York City, carefully drawn a decade earlier by another court that reflected a patchwork of racial, geographic, and economic divides. Jeffries was far from alone in lodging last-ditch appeals. The court was inundated with hundreds of comments suggesting revisions from both Democrats and Republicans, from party lawyers pressing for more politically favorable lines to an analysis of the difference between Jewish families on the east and west sides of Manhattan. The proposed map would divide Bedford's Stuyvesant, Crown Heights, and Brownsville, culturally significant black communities in Brooklyn, between the 8th and 9th congressional districts. Each neighborhood currently falls in one or the other. So things are just going swimmingly for the Democrats here. Probably if they talk about racism and abortion more, then it'll go fine for them in 2022, I think. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. Ukraine's president says Russia should pay for the destruction it's already caused.
In his Friday night video address, President Volodymyr Zelensky called for Russia to be held financially responsible for the damage its forces have inflicted on Ukraine. Zelensky said Russian forces fired a missile at the northeastern Kharkiv region Friday and destroyed a cultural center in Lozova. Zelensky said Russian missiles also hit the cities of Odessa in the south and Poltava in the east. As Russia claimed to have captured Mariupol on Friday, Associated Press cameras recorded buses ferrying Ukrainian fighters to a former penal colony. Russia's state news agency said 2,439 Ukrainian fighters who were holed up in the Azovstal steel plant in Mariupol have surrendered since Monday, including over 500 Friday. I'm Mike Gracia.
Well, White House confident NATO will vote to accept Finland and Sweden despite Turkey's opposition.
Turkey's leader objects to the NATO expansion because of some long-held differences over Kurdish terror groups. However, White House National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan remains optimistic.
We're confident that at the end of the day, Finland and Sweden will have an effective and efficient accession process, that Turkey's concerns can be addressed.
Turkey's approval of Finland and Sweden's application to join the Western Military Alliance is crucial because NATO makes decisions by consensus. Greg Clugston, The White House.
Meanwhile, the first flights of infant formula from Europe authorized by President Biden to relieve a deepening U.S. shortage will arrive in Indiana aboard military aircraft this weekend. In all, about 1.5 million 8-ounce bottles of three different formulas, which are hypoallergenic for children with cow's milk protein allergy, will arrive this week. News and analysis at townhall.com.
I tend to second-guess dinners with friends because they're often interrupted by diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or oily stools. It turns out I have EPI, or exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, which means I'm missing the enzymes needed to digest food. My doctor prescribed Creon pancrelipase, an oral prescription medication that replaces pancreatic digestive enzymes. Creon treats EPI due to cystic fibrosis, chronic pancreatitis, pancreatectomy, or other conditions.
Creon may increase your chance of fibrosing colonopathy, a rare bowel disorder. Tell your doctor if you have a history of intestinal blockage or scarring or thickening of your bowel wall, if you're allergic to pork, or if you have gout, kidney problems, or worsening of painful swollen joints. Call your doctor if you have any unusual or severe gastrointestinal symptoms or allergic reactions. Take Creon as directed by your doctor and always with food. Do not chew capsules, as this may cause mouth irritation. Other side effects may include blood sugar changes, gas, dizziness, sore throat, and cough. These are not all the side effects of Creon.
Creon is the number one prescribed EPI treatment. Ask your doctor about Creon for EPI and visit Creon.com or call 800-633-9110 to learn more. That's Creon.com.
A cybersecurity group says pro-Russian hackers have accessed the websites of several institutions and government ministries in Italy.
Yarek said they spotted a post on the social messaging service Telegram, which was a call to action by a Russian hacking group called Killnet. The group encouraged people to hack major Italian institutions, newspapers and government ministries, which led to attacks beginning at 8 p.m. on Thursday night on five government departments, including the customs, foreign and home ministries. Their websites were still frozen on Friday morning. Italian police say there was a similar incident on May the 11th and they had thwarted a cyber assault stages of the Eurovision Song Contest in Turin last Saturday.
BBC's Rachel Wright reporting. Hyundai Motor Group officials confirmed Friday the company will spend $5.5 billion on a huge electric vehicle plant near Savannah that will employ thousands. More at townhall.com. Let's get a quick look at Friday business.
The stock market clawed back from a midday drop after coming to the edge of its first bear market since the beginning of the pandemic. The S&P 500 ended 18.6 below the record high it set in early January. A 20% decline would have been considered the beginning of a bear market. The benchmark index, the heart of many retirement accounts, came back from a loss of 2.3% to end just barely in the green.
John Scott reporting. The Dow gained just 8 points after a big losses this week, closed out at 31,261. The NASDAQ fell 33 points to 11,354, and the S&P 500 was up just a fraction at the close at 3,901. New York oil gained $1.02, closed out the week at $113.23 a barrel. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
Now, this is Carl Bott and Ted Leidy. We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right, even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up, fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
President Biden yesterday formally endorsed Finland and Sweden's application to join NATO, though if it's anything like his past endorsements, it probably hurt more than it helped.
And there it is, late night TV starting to turn on the president. Is this a trend? Could it be an indicator that 2024 won't be a good idea for Joe Biden? It's Mike Opelka in for Chris Plant on The Chris Plant Show. Happy Friday, America. Friday, Luya to you. It is, it's going to be a great day, and we're going to have a bit of fun, and we're also going to wag fingers at some of the dumbest people and the dumbest things ever said in our nation's capital and somewhere around the country as well. There's a lot going on today, a lot going on. I don't know if you've kept up on all the animal news, but we will have important animal news today because there are really ridiculous things happening. There's some woke stuff going on, too, and you're always welcomed to bring us a woke story if we want to give a gold medal in the woke Olympics to any particular person or news story. All we have to do is nominate them and tell the story. Again, 888-630-9625. 888-630-9625.
It's Mike Opelka. You guys know me. I've been here before for Chris. So much stuff going on today. Where do we begin? Where do we even start today? Maybe the madness needs to begin in the world of the animal kingdom, where there is a panel of judges in New York right now who are discussing whether or not an elephant deserves personhood. I kid you not. This is actually, apparently they've solved all the crime problems in New York State. They've solved all the issues with crime and drugs and murder, etc. in New York State. All of it's been fixed because the New York courts are now arguing about personhood for an elephant. Happy the elephant at the Bronx Zoo is not capable of filing a petition on behalf of herself. Am I allowed to gender mention the elephant's gender? She is a female elephant, had a mate named Grumpy. I guess somebody at the zoo was being funny years ago when they named these two elephants after dwarves. But Happy is the surviving member of this couple, and Grumpy's long gone. But there is an effort to convey personhood onto an elephant at the Bronx Zoo. And we are mucking up the system, wasting the time of seven judges to have this discussion. They are claiming in some of the arguments, some of the more ridiculous things, and this is Washington D.C. level crazy and stupid all at the same time, that Happy is capable of recognizing herself in a mirror. And that means that if you're capable of recognizing yourself in a mirror, then you are to be conveyed personhood. So what do we do? What do we do if these judges say that is that Happy is a person? If they decide that this elephant in the zoo, and the main argument is that the elephant is being held in captivity without her permission. That's kind of how zoos work. You know, we don't get signatures from animals saying, yeah, I'll live in that habitat for a while. And if you've been to the Bronx Zoo, it's a beautiful facility, and the animals are treated fantastically. They're treated very well. So I don't understand the whole reason behind this. Because if someone decides that Happy, the Asian elephant, and now I wonder if Happy has papers from Asia, somewhere from Asia. If Happy the Asian elephant is in fact a person, what will happen? And will this lead to lawsuits on behalf of other animals in the animal kingdom that will then have to be released? And where do they go? Is this suddenly Madagascar becoming reality? I'm not sure I understand it. And I don't know if anyone can adequately explain it to me, but I'm very concerned that we are wasting precious time, the money and time of our judges arguing whether or not an elephant should be granted personhood status. This is really happening. And you know it is going to make the PETA people jump and holler and scream. That is absolutely going to happen next. And they're going to demand the chickens be able to be released. I guess we'll have free-range chickens everywhere. But this is just one of the stories that caught my attention this morning. It is not the most serious of topics, but I had to just pull away from the madness of the world today and look at this situation because it truly is crazy. Meanwhile, our president, maybe our president is in Asia to argue on behalf of, or maybe to make an exchange with the Asian elephant, Happy, and either Japan or South Korea. Yeah, Joe Biden is in Asia now for a couple of days. It's his distraction from disaster tour. That's what's actually going on. Joe Biden is attempting to distract all of the attention from everything you're seeing. If you're watching, of course you're watching at the gas pumps, what's going on? You're now seeing pumps being retrofitted so that you can be charged over $100. You know, previously, if you went in to buy gas, you could only spend $99.99. Well, we're obviously going to eclipse that. And unless you're at a truck stop, then they can easily charge you thousands, as we have seen. But it's most gas pumps aren't set up to charge for more than $5. And now they're going to be set or more than $9.99 a gallon, but we're expecting, anticipating $10 a gallon. So that's one of the distractions. Then there's the baby formula crisis. Then there is the president's inability to do anything as it relates to inflation. So you have oil, runaway inflation, baby food. Is there anything else we can talk about? Yeah, we have the impending release of the Supreme Court decisions, both on firearms and on abortion. And, of course, there is the issue of freedom and freedom of speech that Elon Musk is going to bring to the table. And there's a new attack on Elon Musk that we will talk about as well. So much to get to. And while we're on the subject today, the 20th of May, is the 100th day that Joe Biden will be without a mainstream interview, a press interview. No media outlets have been granted an interview with Joe Biden for 100 days. You have to wonder why. There's no good news to talk about. That's obvious. But you have to wonder, when is the left side of the mainstream media going to finally step up and go, we need to talk or you're going to get unloaded on? And the late-night comedians are already starting, and they may be the canary in the coal mine, the comedy coal mine, if you will. So we shall see. I also have a prediction to make, and that prediction is Joe Biden's new press secretary, Corinne Jean-Pierre, who I like to call KGB. I used to call the previous press secretary Jen Snarky. I know Chris had great names for the press secretary. But I believe the new press secretary is already on the path to be eased out. The problem is, how are they going to be able to do that? How is this administration going to be able to move a press secretary out of that position when she has come out and said immediately, the first thing she said was that she is the very first person to hold this position who is black, female, gay, and an immigrant. That checks so many boxes for this administration that if they try to move Corinne Jean-Pierre, KGB, out of that office, there will be an earthquake from the progressive wing. There will be pitchforks and torches. I don't know if they'll be allowed to use torches, though, because that pollutes the environment. But there will be pitchforks deployed, and they will march on 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, demand. Every special interest group will be there screaming. And they might even scream at each other. But I guarantee you that's happening. And now, why do we feel that? Because there are credible reports that you are seeing the Pentagon spokesman being elevated to a position on the White House comms team. So if you have a member of the Pentagon press team, the head of the Pentagon press team, suddenly moving over to the White House, John Kirby we're talking about, I would expect that the calm attitude of John Kirby, a guy who doesn't need to read the answers from his notebook every time he's asked a question, I would expect that to be a big indicator that this press secretary, KGB, is not long for her position. Now, what are they going to do with her? Once you've been the press secretary, the highest level of press secretarianism, that's not a word, I made it up. If you're the highest level employee in the press department in the government, where do they put you? MSNBC, obviously, but that post was just taken by Jen Snarky. So am I wrong? Do you think I'm wrong? I wonder. All right. I'm going to let's jump in on the phone here real quickly. Let's go to Richmond, Virginia, where Robert is waiting patiently. Robert, welcome to the program, sir.
Good morning, sir. I just wanted to give you a heads up and everybody that's listening. When you go to a truck stop as a truck driver and you go through the truck side and you fuel up at those fuel pumps, those pumps cut off at $999.99 because of the cost of diesel. And now it looks like they're possibly getting retrofit those so that when you stop to do a fuel up on a truck, if you have to pay over $1,000, you don't have to turn the pump off, swipe your card again, and then keep on fueling. They're getting ready to do that. So, you know, when you're paying $5.69 to $6.15 for a gallon of diesel and you're getting anywhere from 200 gallons to 300 gallons per stop, it's getting bad.
Well, I know, Robert, that a lot of drivers, a lot of truckers out there right now and diesel users would love to find $5.99 a gallon diesel. We're getting reports in states all around the country that it's getting to $8 a gallon. And I wonder at what point does this administration finally get the clue that we hope they will pull out of the refrigerator and realize things are not going well. And they are seen as not doing anything about it. It's a shame. Are you a trucker, sir?
Yes, sir.
What are you hauling?
I haul slabs of marble for fabricators to take and make marble countertops and islands that go in the kinds of homes that'll take them.
Okay. Well, that's a great business. I'm a customer of some of your customers, I guess. So I appreciate appreciate the fact that you're out there. Well, keep all those wheels on the pavement, Robert, and try and stay calm. We will get through this. We have to get through the midterms to really make change happen, and I know we will. I believe we will. Thank you, sir. It's Mike Opelka in for Chris Plant. And you're welcome to join the conversation, 888-630-9625, 888-630-9625, The Chris Plant Show with Opelka.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show. Broken bricks, falling fences, damaged doors. Gorilla Glue, of course. Gorilla Glue is incredibly strong, 100% waterproof, and bonds virtually everything. Gorilla Glue, for the toughest jobs on planet Earth.
Well, it's finally happened. The Fed is realizing the dire straits our economy is in, thanks to our loose monetary policy. Apparently, you can't just spend trillions of dollars every year with no repercussions. Now to play catch-up, the Fed has been raising interest rates and plans to 7 times this year. You're already starting to see those ripple effects in the housing market as people's buying power diminishes. Have you considered what could happen in the stock market if the economy stalls out? Why not take some of your profits from the stock market now and solidify them with gold from Birch Gold? You know, throughout history, gold has maintained its value better than any other investment in the world. Text Chris to 989898 for a free zero-obligation information kit on holding gold in a tax-sheltered retirement account. With countless 5-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, I trust the professionals at Birch Gold. Text Chris to 989898 and secure the gains you've made while you can. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. Message and data rates apply.
Why choose proven quality sleep from Sleep Number? Because our Sleep Number 360 smart bed is really smart. It senses your movement and automatically adjusts to help keep you both comfortable. It's even smart enough to know exactly how long, how well, and when you slept, and to help you get almost 30 minutes more restful sleep per night. Sleep Number takes care of the science. All you have to do is sleep. Save $1,000 on the Sleep Number 360 Special Edition smart bed, queen, now only $19.99, plus special financing. Ends Monday. To learn more, go to sleepnumber.com. Special financing subject to credit approval. Minimum monthly payments required. See store for details.
This message is for anyone looking for $500,000 to $1 million or more of affordable term life insurance, even if you have diabetes, high blood pressure, or taking anxiety meds. Here's an example. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe overweight with type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term life insurance may only cost about $200 a month. We're Term Provider, experts in finding affordable term life insurance for those that may not be in perfect health. If you've had prostate cancer, heart conditions, high cholesterol, or on prescription medications, you may still qualify for $500,000 to $1 million or more of affordable term life insurance. Get a quick quote by calling Term Provider at 800-249-1749. 800-249-1749. If you're looking for term life insurance but have type 2 diabetes, high blood pressure, or have other health issues, call Term Provider at 800-249-1749 or visit termprovider.com. termprovider.com.
Go ahead. Kick hiring into HyperGear. Indeed's powerful hiring platform helps attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Sponsor a job and instantly receive a shortlist of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Refinancing your mortgage is fast and easy when you choose American Financing. Hey guys, it's Peyton Manning. With just a 10-minute call, you can pre-qualify to lower your rate, consolidate high-interest debt, and even access cash. There are no upfront fees to pay, and you could postpone up to 2 months of mortgage payments. Call 800-700-1687 or apply online at AmericanFinancing.net.
American Financing, NMLS 182334, NMLSConsumerAccess.org.
Angie's List is now Angie, your home for everything home. With Angie, you could cross your next project off your to-do list before this ad is over. Just tell us what you need and we'll handle the rest, sending a top pro to get it done. Or browse reviews, compare quotes from pros, and connect instantly, all for free. For everything from routine maintenance to a dream remodel. Because however you want your project done, we'll get it done. Download the app or go to Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com to get started.
The IRS, the world's most aggressive collection agency. They can seize your property, bank account, and garnish your wages. They cause sleepless nights for millions of Americans. Don't be one of them. If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, get protected today. Call 800-312-9970. Coast One Tax Group, protecting your bank, home, and your sleep since 2008. With hundreds of five-star reviews and an A-plus on the Better Business Bureau. Call Coast One Tax Group, 800-312-9970. Stanley from New York owed $93,000. The IRS placed a levy on his bank account. Coast One released the levy and settled with the IRS for $2,000. Mark in Michigan owed $225,000. After Coast One stepped in, Mark walked away paying less than $1,500. Call Coast One now. A 10-minute call can save you up to 93% on your back taxes. Get your fresh start today. That's 800-312-9970.
It is the Chris Plant Show. Michael Pelka here for Chris Plant today, and maybe Monday and Tuesday, too. Friday, Luya, to you, though. We're celebrating the arrival of the end of the week. It's a crazy, crazy week, to say the least. And so many things we're talking about. Michael Piercy and I were talking during the break. Joe Biden, our president, is in Asia, and no one is talking about it. There's nothing really in the mainstream media about it. The president, for the first time since he is president, the first time he's not going there helping Hunter get business deals, which even NBC News is reporting on these days, how much money Hunter made while he was in China. The president's got virtually no press coverage on this trip because it's all about distraction. This is all about keeping you focused elsewhere, not looking at all the problems we're facing. And I brought up some of the distractions, and Victor, one of our regulars out of Silver Spring, Maryland, Victor's on the line. Victor, I left out a really key distraction.
You sure did. And first of all, I want to say hello to Robert and the other truckers from the Blind Man. That's my handle when I talk to the truckers. And I want to welcome the ones that are here now. They're going to be demonstrating. I don't know when, but they will. Anyhow, Yeah, the most important thing that you forgot about was Biden wants to turn over our sovereignty to the World Health Organization of the UN so they can declare a pandemic and put restrictions on us for the midterm elections. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, you bring up a really key point here, Victor. And Victor's talking about a vote that's going on the 22nd, just 2 days from today, where there will be a new setup for the WHO to have sovereignty over about 194 countries if it's agreed to. The previous language in this agreement gave sovereignty or control to nations like us. But in this instance, we'd be handing it over to the World Health Organization, and we'd be saying, yeah, we'll follow your directions. Well, let's not forget who the WHO is. They're the people who prevented us from getting all the information on the virus that came to us courtesy of the Wuhan Virology Lab, because Dr. Tedros, who's head of the World Health Organization, is a puppet to China. And that's happening this weekend. Not enough media outlets are talking about it. Victor, thank you. I got to keep rocking and rolling here. I'm almost out of time here. So that's a big stinking deal. That's a really big stinking deal. Susan's in Brooklyn. Susan, you're on the same page as Victor. I only got about a minute here. You're in agreement with Victor?
Listen, this is more than about pandemics. There's a different one that's going to go for pandemics. This is all of our health decisions. And this is Biden gave these amendments, 13 of them, to in January, and then just put it out for the public on a little website, and then a few people found out about it. But if our delegate votes for this, or it only needs to go through, as you said, 194 countries, a simple majority will, I guess, make all of them go into it. And this is disaster. This should be, we should, your station should talk about this 24 hours a day, because no one knows about it. No one believes it. Michelle Bachmann and Frank Gaffney are the experts on this.
Yep.
And I just cannot tell people how to call it.
Susan, you're right, but I'm out of time. Mike Opelka in for Chris Plant on The Chris Plant Show.
This is The Chris Plant Show.
North State Now is a magazine-formatted show that airs at 6 p.m. on Thursday evenings right here on KCNR at 6 p.m. Here's the lineup. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, covering film, theater, and what's happening in the North State. The second Thursday is Heroes of the North State with your host, Michelle Slade. The third Thursday is Enjoy the Magazine and Store with your hosts, James Masada and Rhonda Alvey. The fourth Thursday is a new show called Man Up with Ted Leidy and Carl Bott. That's North State Now every Thursday night right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Brought to you by ReadingCivic.com, Axiom Repertory Theater, Charlu's Tap House, Umbrella Marketing, and Tobacco & Brew.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Veterans, did you know that Shasta County Veterans Service Office is open to all veterans who have served our nation? Whether a combat veteran or a member of the reserves with limited active duty time, you have earned benefits. If you have any military benefit or veteran-related questions, call 530-225-5616 or stop by Shasta County Veterans Service Office at 1855 Shasta Street, Redding, California. This message is brought to you by Korean War veteran Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary, California Veterans Affairs.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Hi, this is Matt. I'm your host of Liberty Unabashed, a new show on Sundays, 8 to 9. We're going to have some good music, some deep thought, and I hope you check us out.
Are you new to crypto? It can leave you feeling unsure of what to do. Help is available. From getting started to securing your cryptos, you don't need to go it alone. Bitcoin 530 will take you by the hand to help you move forward with your crypto journey. Schedule a free consultation with Bitcoin 530 at bitcoin530.io or give them a call at 530-324-5175. That's bitcoin530.io.
Aloha, this is Kevin, operations manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price, and after a few months, realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
Children.
It is the Chris Plant Show, and Michael Pelka is my name, sitting in for my friend Chris Plant, and inviting you to be part of what we are talking about, because it's all about the conversation. 888-630-9625. Happy Friday. Friday Luya to you. Earlier in the program, I mentioned that I believe the new press secretary, who proved to be a disaster on day one, seriously, very bad, awful, terrible. Opening day was just a total mess. And yes, she came out and announced that she was the first LGBTQ female person of color immigrant to have this post. I wish she had given us some of her bona fides about her skills, her ability, her talent, what earned her this job, but maybe she did. Maybe that's what that was all about, because that's the virtue signaling that we get from this administration. So in less than a week in this gig, suddenly, or maybe not so suddenly, we have John Kirby reportedly, allegedly moving from his gig in the Pentagon into the White House. Now, Kirby's a pretty calm guy. I don't necessarily agree with everything he says, but he seems to comport himself well in that post. And is he being brought in to kind of move the new press secretary off the podium? Maybe she'll be so busy traveling with the president to all these distraction locations that John Kirby will have to hold forth in the press room himself. Possible. But then the question is, how do you move out somebody who's got all those boxes checked. How do you move them out after just a week? And I'm sure it's not going to be just a week, but they will make it a quick move because they will have to if she continues to be the grand disaster that we witnessed earlier this week. What am I talking about? And I know some of you have called in. I want to hear your opinions on this. So many of you have called in. We'll get to you shortly. But here is, as I call her, KGB, Karine Jean-Pierre, on her first day and showing how completely incompetent, unable she is to answer questions on many different subjects. This was not a response to one question. These are responses to many questions.
I have not seen that specific data that you're speaking of. So I don't have an update on that. I will have to check in with our team to see if we have something to share. I just don't have an update. But I understand the question. No, it's a very good question. I don't have an update on that. I'm happy to go back and get that. I don't have anything specific on that. It's not my place from here, this podium. So I don't have any update for you on that. Can you say that again? What came back? I don't have a timeline on that. So are you talking about a specific tweet? I don't want to get ahead of what he's going to say. As soon as we have that, we'll promise to share. Well, I think that
it goes on for another 40 seconds. The same thing. I don't have it. And I know some of you are saying, well, don't forget, Jen Psaki was always saying, I'll circle back. She said that for about a month. And then when we all made fun of her for that, she started getting her act together. First week, disaster. You can't crutch on these woke cards that you played. The female card. The LGBTQ card. The African American card. The person of color card, to be correct. And my biggest complaint is not the incompetence, even though that is a big stinking deal. My biggest complaint is who she's sleeping with. Because this person goes home every day to her other half, her spouse, her partner, whomever, who is an anchor and correspondent at CNN. I'm sorry, that's just not going to cut it for a White House that told us it was going to be ethical, et cetera, et cetera. So some of you want to weigh in on this, and I think it's appropriate to have a discussion. Andrew is in Knoxville, Tennessee. Andrew, welcome to the program.
How you doing, Mike?
I'm good. Do you guys, correct me if I'm wrong, you guys have a big half Ironman going on this weekend?
I don't know.
Okay, I thought, I think I have a friend who's competing down there. I'm not sure.
Okay. Well, just real quick, semper fi to all my Marine Corps brothers out there. Surefire way to get rid of KGB. Just have the FBI or the NSA either dig up or manufacture a tweet or an email, anything that shows that she's ever agreed with Trump on anything. and yeah, the pitchforks and the torches will be out, but it won't be for the White House. It'll be for her, and they'll get rid of her real quick. And
are you sure you're not?
You don't have to worry about finding her another job after that because she'll be radioactive.
Andrew, are you sure you're not working with Sussman? Or any of the people at Perkins Coie to come up with this? That's, and how dare you say that the FBI would fabricate a document or an email that would be false and expose a false story about somebody? How dare you, sir?
I don't know where I got the idea, honestly.
That's just not right, Andrew, but it is funny. It's very funny. Thank you for that. And thank you for your service and to all your brothers and sisters in the Marine Corps. We appreciate you. God bless. Thank you, sir. Let's bounce to Marco in Springfield, Virginia. Hey, Marco, welcome to the Chris Plant Show.
Hi, Michael. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course, sir.
I was telling your screener that she's just going to get promoted to her next level of incompetence because that's what happens in government. As I'll quote Chris, I'm making quotes with my fingers, her qualifications will get her to the next position. But I did want to point out the fact that not only is she a female, black, immigrant, and gay, which those are qualifications. But I think the gay card is also something that people are playing to the max, and that's obviously taking place in Disney and everywhere else. But CNN, I don't know, is that a qualification at CNN? You got Don Lemon, Anderson Cooper, Suzanne Malveau, and who else is going to be joining the car on the team that plays that card?
See, I don't think she
deliver the news.
The married
nonsense out of it.
Married to, hang on here, Marco. Married to Suzanne Malveau may disqualify her. She may not be able to go to CNN. So that leaves her her options. She might have to go to Al Jazeera or something like that, or Russia Today. You know, that's
that's but, you know, I wanted to add one more comment, and this is what's taking place in all the government offices. I don't know if you're familiar with the term KSAs, knowledge self-assessments. To get promoted or get your raise or move to the next position, you have to fill out a self-evaluation form, which basically is, I'm the greatest thing since sliced bread, even though it's not true. And then people are going to have to either agree with it or repudiate it, which they never do. And then you get the next level in competence because somebody decided to promote themselves. I think it's a stinky system. It's like you either get promoted for what you've done and been recognized for, as in the military, or, and unfortunately they use KSAs too. I think it's a bad system.
Really, that's an awful system. We used to be a meritocracy. What the hell happened? That's unbelievable.
Yeah, no,
I'm going to look into that, Marco. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thanks. Good comments. Appreciate it. Thank you, sir. Let's check in Gainesville, Virginia, with Mike. Mike, welcome to the Chris Plant Show.
Good morning, Michael. How are you?
I'm good, sir. What's on your mind?
I'm pretty sure you and I both disagree with KJP, lickety-split Malveau, on most every topic she's ever touched. But she did say that Donald Trump was a racist for being a birther. Do you believe birtherism is racism?
No, I think birtherism is just a waste of time. I didn't think there was any racial component built into any of the people who believed that that Barack Obama was not born in Hawaii as his birth certificate states. I always thought that was a great distraction from what should have been an argument about principles of capitalism and freedom and all of the individual freedoms that we love and want to protect in this country. That's just me, though. There might be people that do focus on it. I know a lot of people did, but not me. Not one of those folks. But interesting question. Interesting question. Thank you. Appreciate it, Mike. Let's go to Potomac, Maryland. Brian, welcome to the Chris Plant Show.
Thank you, Michael. I appreciate you taking my call. I'd like to offer a just like a prediction here that KJP is going to probably spend less time in her position than Nina Jankowicz did at the DGB. And I think you're right. She's going to be elevated here shortly to her next level of incompetence. But I just find it absolutely amazing that in 2 days, someone could make that petulant, ginger-haired manure spreader Jen Snarkey look so amazing at her job.
Petulant, ginger-haired manure spreader. That's a brilliant analysis of the former press secretary. But here's the thing. We were trying to come up with a term to define the length of time that the press secretary will serve. And some people said you need to put it in press secretary terms. So they said, what's his name? Who was the crazy guy that Trump had in there? For the Mooch, Anthony Scaramucci. What was he there, 10 days? I think he was there 10 days. So is it a Scaramucci? Will she be in there less than a Scaramucci? Or will she be in there longer than CNN Plus, which was like 3 weeks? Or will it be 2 weeks with the disinformation czar? My question is about the disinformation czar. Drift over to the area of, will we be paying? What is her severance? Since she resigned and she claimed she was forced out by rumors. No, we have the videos. We saw all the embarrassing stuff that you said, including the video where you asked Santa Claus who you needed to have sex with in order to be famous, rich, famous, and powerful. That was the song. If you haven't heard it, a lot of media outlets have shied away from it. because she's filthy and they can't play it. They have to bleep out the harsh language that would get them fined. But Nina Jankowicz is no longer a part of this disinformation board governance, disinformation governance board. But I wonder how long we're going to be paying for her. When she was hired, she was reportedly 8 months pregnant. Maybe it was 7.5 months pregnant. So are we going to be paying for the full maternity leave? Is she resigning effective immediately? Or is she going to resign and give us X number of days? Because if the baby's born, then you and I, the taxpayers, are going to be supporting her maternity leave and search for baby formula. Just throwing that out there. It's an interesting question. And speaking of baby formula, we have to talk about something. Something I did a little investigative work on yesterday. I failed. I didn't get an answer. But it relates to me contacting a large government agency regarding baby formula. I'll share it with you. You want to join the conversation? You are welcome today. We will keep discussing what's happening with the press secretary, who I believe is on the way out. I really do. I think she's not long for her position, especially with John Kirby kind of wandering the halls of the White House now. 888-630-9625 is the number, 888-630-9625. My name is Mike Opelka. I'm in for Chris Plant on The Chris Plant Show.
This is The Chris Plant Show.
Who can you trust in the big media? A recent study finds Americans don't trust big media, and 65% of Republicans don't trust them at all. Now, Americans have found a source they can trust. It's Newsmax. They go online to Newsmax.com for breaking headlines. They watch Newsmax TV on all major cable systems. They even downloaded the free Newsmax app on their smartphone. And Nielsen recently reported that almost 7 million cable viewers watch Newsmax, but not Fox News. That's huge. Find out why they made the switch to Newsmax. Start every day with Wake Up America and Rob Finnerty. And each night, watch the Newsmax team with Eric Bolling, Chris Salcedo, Greg Kelly, Lindsey Keith, and Rob Schmidt. And weekends, see shows with Huckabee, Diamond and Silk, Gorka, Benny Johnson, Dick Morris, and more. 20 million Americans have made the switch and watch Newsmax all the time. Join them today. You may never go back.
You can't get much for $5 these days. Unless you go to Wendy's for a $5 Biggie Bag. Get your choice of double stack, junior bacon cheeseburger, or crispy chicken BLT. Plus, four-piece nugs, fries, and a drink. All for just $5.
You got that bag. You got that Biggie Bag. You got that bag.
That was smooth, wasn't it? That's how you're going to feel when you get that Biggie Bag at Wendy's.
U.S. price and participation may vary. Includes four-piece nuggets, small soft drink, and small fry. Prices may be higher in Alaska and Hawaii.
Dell Technologies wants to celebrate all your hard work with these Small Business Month specials. Get great value offers on powerful laptops, desktops, and servers with Windows 11 Pro starting at $499, plus top monitors and docks, all with easy financing options through Dell Financial Services. It's the perfect time to upgrade so you and your team can stay secure from anywhere. Call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL to refresh your business tech with these Small Business Month specials. Dell recommends Windows 11 Pro for business.
Message and data rates may apply.
Do you need a car? Been shopping only to be turned down because of bad credit, low credit, no credit, bankruptcy, or divorce? Guess what? Today's your lucky day, because now you can buy a car, truck, or SUV, just about any vehicle. It's true. Bad credit? Doesn't matter. No credit? Doesn't matter. Bankruptcy or divorce? It just doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, your job is your ticket to your new vehicle. We're Auto Credit Express, and we've helped thousands of people just like you. Antonio H. told us, great company, got me connected, and the day I went in, I drove off in the car I wanted. 100% worth your time. Need a car? Get started now, and drive off as early as today. Just text APPLY NOW to 88909 right now to get started. That's APPLY NOW to 88909. Auto financing the easy way. Text APPLY NOW to 88909.
Angie's List is now Angie, your home for everything home. With Angie, you could cross your next project off your to-do list before this ad is over. Just tell us what you need, and we'll handle the rest, sending a top pro to get it done. Or browse reviews, compare quotes from pros, and connect instantly, all for free. For everything from routine maintenance to a dream remodel. Because however you want your project done, we'll get it done. Download the app or go to Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com to get started.
After I got out of the Marine Corps, coming back home, it was just a mental breakdown for me. I was on the verge of giving up. That chapter, that season in my life was over. Now what? Who was I? That's what I kept asking myself. The pressure to have it all together, to heal, to quiet down the monsters inside, it was too much. I lost it. I had heard about the Wounded Warrior Project. I had seen the logo and that visual of a warrior carrying another warrior. The programs that the Wounded Warrior Project offers, it's not just the veteran themselves, it's their whole family. It brings it all together. We have scars that we carry, and just because the scars are there doesn't mean that we're any less than what we were. Right now, I'm the best version that I ever have been of myself. I can embrace the brokenness.
You wouldn't go into battle alone. You don't have to fight this alone. Visit woundedwarriorproject.org/not alone.
We tell anybody that has a dog, if there was something that you could do right from the beginning so that you don't have expensive veterinary bills, why would you not do it?
DinoVite.com. DinoVite is nutrition.
The DinoVite will make your dog happy, vivacious, jump up and down, wag their tails. It will make you smile.
You get some DinoVite, how happy your dog will be.
I get my DinoVite from DinoVite.com.
It is the Chris Plant Show. Welcome to it. It's Friday as well. Mike Opelka in for Chris Plant. A little breaking news here. We were just saying how the media wasn't really covering Biden's visit to Asia on the distraction from disaster tour, as I'm calling it. Well, there is news. Just broke. Two Secret Service agents have been sent home after an incident in South Korea. They're disputing whether or not they were arrested, but one is accused of drunkenly assaulting a South Korean citizen yesterday before Joe Biden arrived. So they've been sent home, and they're on administrative leave, as it were. So it is a bad report that's breaking relating to Joseph Robert Biden Jr.'s visit to the Asian Peninsula. Sorry that that is happening, and the Secret Service agents bringing a stain on this country in this case. And there are so many great Secret Service agents I know. I hope one or two guys that got out of control don't spoil that image. They are among the best. If you've ever met one, you know what I'm talking about. But that's the only story that we're really seeing right now. Back to the phones real quickly before the end of the hour. We're talking about a couple different things with KGB, the press secretary. I call her KGB, Corinne Jean-Pierre. And one of the callers brought up KSA, which is knowledge self-assessment, apparently going on in areas of the country and areas of our business in this world. Josh is on the phone from Fort Belvoir. Josh, welcome to the program, sir.
Hey, sir. Good morning. How are you?
I'm good, sir. What's on your mind?
I just wanted to clarify. I've been in the military for 20 years, so I've done a lot of assessing folks on their performance, judging their potential for future positions or promotion. Not sure what the KSA knowledge self-assessment tool that the previous caller was talking about. I was speaking with a friend of mine who's in the medical community. It's very common in broadening your knowledge base in a particular topic area for family medicine. But the KSA that we're accustomed to is called knowledge, skills, and abilities. It's a framework, basically a series of narrative statements that, in conjunction with our resumes or our officer record briefs, determines who the best applicants are. When several of us qualify for a new billet or are eligible for promotion. Now we also do our own internal assessments. We assess ourselves based on our own performance and what we think our potential is. But then that same assessment gets kicked out to a handful of our subordinates, peers, and supervisors to see if we're all on the same page, if we're all assessing ourselves accurately. And one other thing you mentioned was that we only promote based on performance. That's not true. That's a part of it, but a large part of it is based on potential. Don't confuse us with major professional athletes who get paid tons of money for what they did in the past and then just kind of, sometimes sit out the rest of the time. But a big part of our promotion is due to potential and what we can offer to the military for the next 3, 5, 10 years going forward. Thanks for giving me the time. I just want to clarify.
No, I appreciate it. I always appreciate it. Look, I don't think it's a bad idea for people to understand that their knowledge or opinion of themselves may differ than the opinion and assessment of their supervisors or their peers. And I think that's a fair thing to have in everybody's experience. I think it's a good thing to say, okay, I believe this, and then the reality may tell me differently, which tells me where I need to work. So I think that's a great idea to have that happen. Does not always happen, but it should. So it's a good one. Michael, do I have time to go to Mark in College Park, Maryland? Okay, great. Mark, before I go, Josh, thank you for your service, sir. 20 years in the military. God bless you. Mark in College Park, Maryland. Welcome, sir.
Hey, good morning. Listen, I'm talking about the new replacement secretary to the president. It's a toss-up. It really is. It's either Kirby comes out and declares himself trans, which trumps everything that KGB does and puts him in a very good light, or Happy is declared a person. And because of all the years she spent in captivity, in reparation, she's made press secretary.
Wow. I hadn't really thought about this. Now, obviously, the more likely of these two scenarios would be John Kirby coming out as trans. But, anything is possible these days. And the elephant, Happy the Elephant, could get personhood and given reparations for all those years in captivity in the Bronx. Wow, what a first hour. Michael Pelka in for Chris Plant on The Chris Plant Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.